after collapsing on the tennis courts.
Breaking new details on the deaths of a high school soccer player.
Finland, Denmark star man Christian Eriksen collapsing towards the end of the first half.
The Kennedy High community mourning tonight after one of their high school football players died.
A South Carolina high school football player has died after collapsing at football practice.
Star college basketball player collapsing on the court. We want to warn you, the video may be difficult to watch.
Florida Gators star Keontae Johnson collapsing during the game.
A West Catholic high school student has died after collapsing during a football scrimmage.
On mile 8, she suddenly felt fuzzy and blacked out.
17-year-old Ryan Jacobs' heart stopped.
Unexpectedly collapsed on the field.
Megan went into cardiac arrest.
Collapsing during Friday night's football game.
For his collapse is unknown.
The reason why Manny collapsed in the first place still isn't known.
So you might be wondering how someone in such great shape could suffer cardiac arrest.
It's a rare thing that happens.
Says the condition is rare. It's just one of those tragedies.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Monday, December 6th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. That opening clip, Highwire made that one. There's been a lot of great ones out there. Jay Wilderness being that first one we shared a long time ago in the beginning of November. Long time ago. Very important to see how obvious that is and how we'll yet again, for probably the umpteenth time, go over how exactly, how very clearly this is something that's being ignored. No one here at this point can prove that every single one of those things are tied to the injection. But what we can prove is that people in the positions that are supposed to be the ones making sure that's not what's happening are refusing to look at it. Refusing to look at what's happening, to engage with the information that they are putting out and then dismissing. It's absolutely staggering. Very important stuff there. We're going to talk about that today. Collapsing athletes again, myocarditis, and the new information we're seeing. But we're also going to talk about a lot of new things you're seeing as well, such as the Omicron variant being shown, as you probably already would have known or surmised by the information we've already put out since the beginning of this, but that there are zero deaths associated with Omicron. Which shouldn't be surprising based on everything else that we are seeing. If that even, we'll get to that in general about the nuances of that conversation about whether we even know that's what's happening or not. But on top of that, we have information coming from not only the data we've shown you, but a lot of other experts as well, that it appears based on the data, which is all we can point to, that you are more likely to die or get COVID, respectively, if you're vaccinated. Yet they'll continue to scream that it's all our fault, everything's our fault. I mean, it will probably get to a point in this narrative where it'll become so hard to ignore that they'll basically go, yeah, that's the truth, but it's because of the unvaccinated. How much you want to bet we get there at some point? That's how comical and ridiculous this has all gotten. Such as me, like almost in a Babylon Bee sort of a way, trying to find something as ridiculous as possible and using the ridiculous term COVID toe. And you can look this up. I said that before that was a thing. I was trying to be ridiculous in going anything you have a symptom for of any kind is being associated with COVID-19. My toe hurts. I have COVID toe. And the month later, sure enough, we have COVID toe. it's probably just a coincidence, but it just shows you how ridiculous all of this is. And every step of the way, it's been like that, to where we see where this is going. It's almost a comical overrepresentation in a very alarming sort of way. But we're going to go into not just those discussions, but as always, a lot of the peripheral information around this in regard to the children, in regard to the seriousness of this, in regard to the adverse events that are being covered up. Especially important part today about the COVID pass in the UK and how, again, just like we've been warning and suggesting was going to happen based on previous events and our own research, they're now expanding it not only to meet more shots for COVID, but just other things than COVID and other restrictions and going forward. And, but wait a minute, that's the opposite of what this was promised as, but it's exactly what we always knew was going to happen. Now, I want to start off with a quick shout out to this conversation. I've been saying for a while that I wanted not only to have a conversation about the mass psychosis part of this conversation, but specifically with Desmond here, the one on the right. Chris Martinson here, I've been trying to also get on the show. I'd love to connect with him. Ended up doing this interview and did a great job. And so I'm just going to direct you to this discussion, because I feel like I'm going to have a conversation about the same thing and it's going to basically bring out the same points. And the only reason I didn't get to this in that time frame is because you all know there's just an endless amount of topics to tackle around this deception. But this is a great conversation that I think you should check out, that really gets into the important part of what we may be dealing with here. Now, some out there, I think Denny Rancourt made some comments on this today, not really feeling this conversation. It's an important conversation. It's valid. But he makes a good point that totalitarianism has always pretty much been the norm in society. And this is just another example of that. So yes, mass psychosis has a factor here, but is that really the part? I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at this. I think this is an important conversation that the people in control of whatever you see that as understand this topic more than anybody, that using things like parasite stress theory and manipulating your mind, your emotions, your fear can get you to believe certain things, whether or not they're real. Now, I might as well just play this first opening clip, because this is the kind of the real point that it's about. And I've said this before from his research, that at the end of the day, it ultimately is about creating these connections between other people. They create a situation where you feel so isolated, disconnected, cut off, and just lost, that they create a new situation where you find those connections in what are untruths, what are illusions. And that is the idea that masks work or that vaccines will save us. And they find this plateau where suddenly they don't feel as anxious as they were before. And that anxious uncertainty was created by the government to begin with. And this is a plan. Whether that's what's happening or not, that's what he's discussing. I believe that's what we're looking at. Now, let me just play this first clip real quick.
The real reason why people buy into the story, even if it is utterly absurd, is not because they believe in the narrative. It is because the narrative leads to the new social bond. That's the real reason.
The new social bond, in case you missed that last part. And it's an excellent point. We are animals, if anything else. And so we are abused. We are manipulated. People understand how our minds work, can do so. Great interview that I really recommend you take a listen to. It's really important. Now, going forward, to open this up on some quick censorship, we're going to do censorship really quickly, and I'm going to do my best to do both these parts very quickly. Censorship and then a couple of foreign policy points that, of course, I think are very relevant to today. On the censorship, I wanted to point two things out. We'll start with this. You all know this one, that I just put a show out, the last show I did, and I'm in Twitter jail right now. Weirdly enough, I was able to squeak through a couple of DMs to people before they stopped it all of a sudden. I don't know what that means, but I'm locked out for another 5 days. That was if and when I decided to delete my own tweet, which is just ridiculous. But first of all, recognize this is the tweet they focused on. So I said, mainstream media frantically hides how Omicron is being spread by the injected. Okay, now that can be wrong. Sure, certainly. That's a perspective. That's an opinion. That's my stance. But hardly you'd think that they would censor me based on my perspective of how they're trying to hide something. Okay, let's pretend that that's obviously something they would do. But hypothetically speaking, let's not make that the point. Study finds COVID 5G correlation. So is it wrong to point to a study that finds this? Am I saying that proves anything? No. So just recognize how absurd we are and how absurd this all is right now, where Twitter is censoring based on talking points, not even the conversation, not the video, but the fact that I'm about to discuss these things. So am I not allowed to show that the media is not talking about how vaccinated are the primary spread vehicle for this? That's all the data out there. Easy to look up. or the fact that there's a study that is discussing those two things. It just shows you how ridiculous this is. And you all know this, but I just had to make that point because it's absurd. And here's the tweet that underneath it, someone just says, this is hilarious. It says that the tweet violated the Twitter rules, right? So what rules exactly? That these sentences apparently violate their rules. Anybody make sense of that? I mean, that is just clown world of anything else, but that was censored. You all know that. Then all of a sudden we had Facebook, I just noticed, doing the same thing, but from a different angle. So recognize that they're all doing this, but they're pretending it's for different reasons. And let's pretend that that just happened to coincidentally happen at the exact same moment on all platforms, but for multiple reasons, right? It's just how that works. Here they are over here on Facebook land going, no, 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 it's not because you spread misinformation. It's because you are using something that we found copyrighted material. Therefore, we're going to suppress the entire thing. Is that funny? And it's, of course, it's the In the Hall of the Mountain King, the dun 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 dun, the one that's playing during that clip that played a zillion times, which is played all over the place, which I've played multiple times, but only now do they decide to, you see where that's going. It's just hilarious. But then don't forget, Buy Me a Coffee also censored us. But guess what I got for you guys? A response. Before we jump to the next point, here's what Buy Me a Coffee admitted to me today. And before we, just so you know, there was a email exchange between me and another member of Buy Me a Coffee where they denied this happened. So just recognize there's a level of dishonesty within all of this. And whether that's because they're in a hard spot themselves, but I'm not trying to justify because they're being pressured by the technocrats and they don't want to lose their, whatever it is. I reached out. I said, why did you guys delete my account? And she goes, no, we didn't. It's right there. I think you're mistaken. Until I pressured them. And made sure they knew that this was public and that I recorded everything. Here's what they said. Our moderation team decided to deactivate your account based on the reports we received. That's interesting. So first of all, we know that First Lady either was unaware of that, which is certainly possible, or didn't want to tell me since they reinstated it before I got, but she responded, right? No, no, it's right there. You're totally wrong. That's exactly what they all do. But it says after review by a second team member, it was reinstated. Don't miss the timing of all this. This was the day after Brooke Jackson's interview. It was the day after a lot of stuff and simultaneous manipulation, phone, computer crashed. Had to, remember that's how why I had to postpone my interview with both the, Sam Tripoli of Tinfoil Hat, as well as Catherine Austin Fitz. Both have been rescheduled. All of this was the same day. This, all of it. But after it's been reviewed by the second team member, it was reinstated. This is the best part. It has nothing to do with your posts, they say. Sorry for all the confusion. Moderation's a tricky job, and I hope you... Right. Moderation doesn't usually entail the entire wholesale deletion of an entire account with no notification, no email. Come on, I'm not buying it, guy. That's not actually what happened. Otherwise, you would have sent me an email, right? Not even an email was sent to me. But the point is, what reports were received? And why did those reports have nothing to do with my content? Guys, something about this is very important. I'm not sure why, but that's something my gut is telling me. People, there's somebody out there sending reports to these guys that influenced their team to remove my account without any notification on an instantaneous basis. Then I'm arguing because you guys probably made their lives impossible and because I blasted them on multiple platforms, but I wasn't able to on Twitter because they did that same time, probably intentionally. Same thing they do when they censor you on YouTube. They do it on Twitter at the same time, so you can't talk about it. But then they brought it back because of that. So why would that not be my content? And what was the reports, which is what I asked? I believe I have a right. What were they pertaining to? Anyway, guys, the point is you can see where this is all stemming from. There's some hidden hand out there that is not happy with us poking the bear. Because truth is falling out, right? At the seams. That's interesting to me. Now, going forward to the next point on some foreign policy before we jump into everything. Biden admin reportedly mulls, quote, nuclear option. And this just falls out of nowhere. Disconnecting Russia, i.e. disconnecting Russia from the SWIFT payment system in case they invade Ukraine. Even though Russia has been actively over the process of a decade, slowly de-dollaring as most of them are, I would imagine this probably isn't that much of a threat. But why is this happening now? Why is everything small? All this, every possible buzz talking point topic in North Korea, everything else seems to be swinging back into action as their narrative falls apart around your feet. Yeah, I just answered my own question. I think this is really revealing because there's no way that they would take an action like this unless it was coordinated, because this is war worthy. If you believe this is that important to them, I kind of don't because of the actions they've taken, but I just want to point this out that now this is happening, right? Are we not pretending that Russia is not in the midst of a huge pandemic like everybody else? How dare you attack their financial system while they're in the middle of a pandemic, right? Of course, that logic would apply if it was somebody they cared about, a good guy side or whatever the nonsense they feed you. But just don't you realize how inhumane that is? The U.S. government, you're hurting them in the pandemic. It doesn't matter. This is all political nonsense and noise to get you to stop. Not that it's not a valid thing and it wouldn't actually happen. I think the very concept of these massive wars with China or Russia are massive, massive psychological sidesteps. Not that there are not active parts within our governments or different, you know, there's real reality to all of this, but I'm beginning to feel much more coordination between all of them today, as possibly always has been the case. Now on U.S. foreign policy, Sarah Abdallah reports Biden killed more civilians with a drone strike in Syria yesterday. This is on the 4th. Of course, nobody heard about that because nobody cares about the civilians who are killed by the U.S. government for freedom. Of course not. Or the U.K. government for freedom, or France for freedom, or Saudi Arabia for terrorism. But we call that freedom, too, even though they're all terrorism that we call freedom. Biden also killed 7 children with a drone strike in Afghanistan a few months ago. Right, because we're no longer there, right? But it's Julian Assange and Daniel Hale who are languishing in prison. Make sure you understand how absurd and broken that is. The people who exposed those crimes that we now that the government now carries out with impunity. Remember when we had back then, we had to have WikiLeaks reveal to us that they murdered civilians openly with drone strikes. Now they just do it and it's for freedom. Yet they are still attacking these people for revealing it to you in the first place. Great, great transparency in the land of the free. Now on other quick points that Robert just put out, the UAE, a United Arab Emirates official, was literally just elected president of Interpol. That's not a joke. This is not the Babylon Bee, a country that is currently under investigation for multiple human rights crimes. The Human Rights Watch is openly calling out for arresting political prisoners. I mean, this is disgusting. And this shows you that these people, the people in charge of basically the central world government direction, do not care about the things they keep telling you that they care about because they know that's what you actually want. Good things. Human rights, freedom, everything else. They're using things like climate change and doing right by people to completely take over what's going on today. The bad guys are in control. And I bet you that hasn't been very different forever, maybe. But this is important for me because of the correlation with the bigger picture. Not that Interpol itself is not a gigantic story. Please read this article because it shows you, and I'll just read the main part here. It says right here, the report documented Abu Dhabi's financial contributions to Interpol since 2017. Guess what they found? That the UAE pledged 50 million euros to the Interpol Foundation for a Safer World in 1 year alone, 2017 alone. A foundation with, before that, had a total budget, total of 232,000 euro. That's it. And they come in and just give 50 million. This has led to the speculation the world-renowned Interpol has been simply bought and paid for by a lawless family of princes. This is the way the world is going. The reason that the U.S. government talks about freedom and works with the open authoritarian dictatorship, acting like that makes sense, of Saudi Arabia. This is the people that they're working with. These are the people they're working with. Now we've just elected one as the president of an international crime-fighting organization while they are actively committing those crimes. It's ridiculous. But the bigger picture here is how this connects with this conversation. The great narrative that Derek just wrote about, the great narrative in the metaverse. Don't forget, Klaus Schwab was openly talking about how the United Arab Emirates was the leading number one partner in the Great Reset. That should scare you. Now they're suddenly in control of basically the leading international, at the very least, the investigatory arm of the international crime fighting organization, right? That's essentially Interpol's investigatory. But at the end of the day, that's a big deal. And why are these people being allowed to be in control of things when they're the ones committing the crimes? Well, because it shows you who's actually fighting, controlling these things. These people who don't care about what's equitable or free or any of that. Because you can look at their actions, people. Crazy. Please read this as well. Very important article. And here's the last one he just put up today. Jordan-Israeli UAE energy deal is not about combating climate change because that's what they're using to hide all the things they're doing. It's about money and politics. You should ask yourself why these people are in such central roles while they're some of the most obvious criminals around. Because we're being led by criminals. Finally, on a slight domestic policy point before we jump into the opening point for COVID here, is the DCCC, pointing out that Biden just did something for you. Thanks, Biden. Well, look what he did. Apparently, he brought down gas prices by 2 cents over the month. Okay, fantastic. Well, this is them saying, look at how great we're doing for you, except when you stand back and look at the context and realize, oh, wait a minute, we're right there. Good job, guys. But whoa, there's where we were before. And here's where Biden started, right? This is so ridiculous. How obviously they lie about everything all the time. They are obvious. And this is Democrats, Republicans, or all of the government as one thing. They're lying to you. Somebody pointed this out in the comments. Like, this is where you are. And they're going, oh, look, we went down a bunch. We're good. Look who thanks, Biden. Except that he's raised it a hell of a lot more before that little small dip. This is what's happening with COVID-19. This is where we are today. And if you can't recognize that, it's a choice. Because we all know that about governments. At least, the very least, the other side of the aisle. Which by now, hopefully, you realize is the same thing as the one you're standing next to. Now, starting off here is Neil MacKay. Who is a journalist, author, filmmaker, broadcaster, usually babbling about politics and culture in Scotland and Ireland, saying anti-vaxxers and anti-maskers are prolonging COVID. Which, first of all, remember that anyone using these terms just ubiquitously is being ridiculous, because anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers are what they're calling literally anybody who does not agree with any part of this discussion, including people that have 2 injections and wear a mask, but then argue that we shouldn't force them. There are members of government saying, like in Australia, that guy is an anti-vaxxer because he associates or agrees with that guy not doing it. Like, it's gotten ridiculous. But he's saying those people are prolonging COVID. So just the first sentence, how is exactly that somebody who's not taking a vax, not taking a mask, while those people over there are doing the vax and wearing the mask that they're told will protect them? How does it make it our fault if we're one of those people on the side of not doing those things that it's continuing to spread, even though they're claiming they're the ones that are getting hurt by it, even though they're protected with the mask that's supposed to work all the time and an injection that's safe and effective and almost 100% all the time? How does that make sense? Oh, it's because apparently the uninjected are causing variants, even though the data of every possible study we can show before this, including even during this, shows you that's not the case. People like Dr. Malone and Dr. James Lyons-Wilder and Dr. Rennie Rancourt, PhD, all telling you that this is obviously not true, that uninjected are causing variants. It's a no-brainer. Then you also have the real-world information, such as the entire half of the year of 2020, where nobody had injections, and apparently COVID was able to run free, and no variants were blowing up like we were seeing today. And the moment you see the injections, you see an exact correlation with how the variants began to explode. I mean, it's just a no-brainer here. But this is what they want people to think, and that's why we're starting with this. Because we are going to get to a point to where nothing means anything anymore. Any negative problem is going to be, well, because that one guy over there in the corner is unvaxxed. Do you realize, based on their logic, you could literally have everybody everywhere injected except one person, and then that one person could, everything changes, and now you're back to square one. Like, I mean, I made this past time. Or ask yourself, if we are in the United States and 100% of everybody is injected, 130%, everyone is injected. You'll get that joke as we get further through the show today. And one person comes from South Africa, which has a variant, suddenly we're all back in square. Yeah, that's what just happened, apparently. That's what they want you to believe. So what's the point of getting everybody injected if one person on the other side of the world? This is why they're screaming, we need to vaccinate the world. Okay. None of that actually lines up with the facts, but do you realize how that is a never-ending goal, just like the war on terrorism? Exactly. This is an impossible end goal. That's why it's never been something even asked or discussed before. Never even how they framed the logic of vaccines before. He says it's they who are wrecking the economy. I mean, seriously. So by not doing something, you're wrecking the economy. Why? Because they're doing things in response to what they're claiming you're causing? Wow, that is some abstract logic there. Even if you actually are causing this thing, it's still not you wrecking the economy, because it's the people who are making the economy stop who are wrecking the economy. I mean, that's just ridiculous. This is kindergarten level logic. It says they who are infringing our liberty by keeping COVID going. Seriously. So now it's become now we are the ones being, this is the same thing they keep saying, somehow we're fascist for not taking an injection by force, which causes them to infringe on us fascist restrictions. That's literally their mindset. So it's our fault. their fascist actions make us fascists because we don't do what we're told. I mean, that doesn't even make sense under their own logic. That's so crazy. We're infringing on liberty by not being forced to take a shot. God, I mean, this is the mass psychosis. Time to make their lives difficult. Great. So now you're going to attack us because you're good people. No mask, no vaccine, then no entry anywhere. Either stay at home or be a responsible citizen. First of all, even the idea of saying be a responsible citizen is just Orwellian, Nazi-esque type of concepts here that there's a certain kind of way a citizen has to be. And if you're not that way, then you're a bad citizen. That is social credit level. But that's where they're all sprinting toward while simultaneously acting like that's the opposite of what we want. But here's the funny part. SB says, what about the vaccinated that are infecting the vaccinated? What role do they play? Of course, no response, right? The point is that's obviously happening. They've all admitted that. But this guy can't piece that together in his logic. So it's our fault, but the vaccinated are still spreading it to the vaccinated. This person says, and the vax travelers that spread Omicron everywhere, which he's going to ignore. And then, of course, to the point, the really mild variant no one dies from yet? This is where they are. But this guy's up here at the top, not even looking at the rest of it, just going on his high ivory tower going, we're the right ones as we're riddled with sickness and illness and getting multiple shots and having all these problems and heart attacks and blood. But we're over here totally fine. And it's our fault that you're struggling. Now, look, I'm not trying to argue that there's not people that are, if you believe that's what's happening, just dying from COVID-19 with no injection. Sure, it does apparently, according to their narrative, have a small percentage of people that do get sick. So you can't point to an example of somebody who refused the shot and then died as meaning anything. Just like you can't make the argument in reverse. You couldn't sit there and say that because one person got the shot and then died, that therefore everybody's in danger. But it's about the bulk of the data. You see, that's not what you get on their side of the argument. On our side of the argument, you will see like the things we played at the beginning, an undeniable string of obvious examples of things they're disregarding. Things like this. WHO says no deaths reported from Omicron yet as COVID variant spreads. No deaths reported. Zero. Now, how is it this far into it that apparently it's all over the world already and no one's dying? And that South Africa and Botswana both told you it was spread all by vaccinated people. And we're clearly seeing that it's not dangerous. The WHO has already called it super mild. Yet still, to this very moment, they're fear-mongering. It could be super dangerous and it could be bad. Well, it also, that means it could not be. So why are we then erring on the side of actions such as that destroy the economy? Right here he is going, they're making us destroy the economy, except that's not what's happening right now. They're taking actions based on this with no indication that the unvaccinated are involved at all and about to shut down and stop the economy yet again. Yet he'll still point at you and blame you because he was told to do that. And that's quote intelligent in the COVID clown world we're in. Same article, Daily Mail. WHO says no one has yet died from Omicron, despite new COVID strain being spotted in 38 countries. Well, you know where this is going. No one has died with the new super mutant Omicron COVID variant. Jeez, you know what that just reminded me of? I wish I had remembered to pull this up. Remember the Babylon Bee we just made fun of the other day? The super ninja turtle mutant Omicron that's exactly what this is. I can't believe how spot on Babylon Bee and the rest of them have continued to be about how these absurd, once respected, I guess, in institutions like these mainstream outlets or the governments themselves. These people are clown shows today. The point I'm saying that is right out of the gate, the new super mutant Omicron. Do you realize what your headline says? No one has died. Everyone said it's super mild, and we haven't seen any indication that it's more dangerous at all. And you're going to start with the new super mutant Omicron COVID variant because it's all about keeping people hyped up and scared. There's an important point in this article. Now, it says the U.S. and Australia became the latest countries to confirm locally transmitted cases of variant as Omicron infections pushed South Africa's total case past 3 million. Total cases. Right, but a bunch of cases that people got headaches from and then were fine and nobody died. That's what they told you. I guess you just left that part out, though, because that's not important, right? Skip it. And India confirmed its third Omicron infection today. Today. With cases also now spotted in Sri Lanka, South Korea, and Malaysia. Now, some of these certainly are possible, but I'm going to get to that point again next very quickly to show you how ridiculous it is to argue that they're doing all of these and able to prove to you all of these are all Omicron. But it says the new variant could also slow. Oh, it says the WHO warned it could take weeks to determine how infectious the variant is. whether it causes more severe illness, and how effective treatments and vaccines are against it. Right. So that translates to, we have no idea what's happening right now, but we're going to restrict your rights and everything else and, you know, make your life worse because of our hypothetical fear that we're going to keep moving with regardless of whether it shows not to be dangerous. And we'll just skip over that. Just like Delta. Did they ever come back and go, oh, we now know it's not more dangerous. Nope. It's always more transmissible and possibly more dangerous. Well, that was about 7 months ago. Is it still possibly more dangerous? Yep. Possibly. Because that means yes or no, we don't know, even though they do know. It's not more dangerous, just like this one here. The new variant could also slow global economic recovery. Right, the variant, or you mean government action? Just as the Delta strain did. No, government action did, based on the fact that it was not more dangerous, or based on the fact that they claimed it could be, and it wasn't. International Monetary Chief said this on Friday. Oh, wait, this wasn't the article at that point. There's a point where I get into hospitalization that I want to make an interesting point on. We'll get there. Now, it's interesting to me that we're at a point where we can clearly see that even the WHO is telling you that this is not more dangerous, at least based on the evidence in front of us. Could it be tomorrow? Sure. Of course, things can change. Maybe we find new evidence. But the idea that we're right now absolutely, like, not just restricting and locking down, but building injections based on this not more dangerous thing that therefore could disappear tomorrow. But yet they've already started making new injections and we're already somehow in the middle of it when this started and are about 3 weeks away. Yeah, because that makes sense. Well, we'll get to it in a minute. Before we get there, I wanted to read this again for you because it's absurd for them to pretend that they have this in 38 countries or that they know that right now. Why? Well, first of all, as the CDC told you in this fact check for Reuters, it says COVID-19 tests, the PCR tests, will not be able to tell you which variant you have. Just so you understand that. That's from the Jude Foltz, a spokesperson for the CDC, speaking on a fact check for Reuters. It is that genomic sequencing finds that out, right? It says the CDC uses a process called genomic sequencing to analyze these samples to identify and characterize variants. PCR tests are not capable of telling you what variant you have. It's a yes or no answer. I've shown you this many times. Here is the Smithsonian, why the U.S. is struggling to track variants back on February 11th, right? They nothing has changed since then. It says the United States, home to a disproportionate 1/4 of the pandemic's COVID patients, which tells you something despite their claiming it doesn't count, has sequenced only about 96,000, a fraction of 1%. Of its 27 million cases and counting, which is up from February, obviously, so they tell us. But it was less than a fraction of 1%. And yet right now, we're seemingly just every single one. We now know Omicron, next one, 38 cases, 40 states, everywhere in the country. Yet we somehow, up until February, had less than 1%. I mean, really think about how ridiculous that is. I'm not claiming to know how much or how little there are able to show you and which ones are fake, but I can promise you that if up until the entire time, up until February 11th, they only get a fraction of 1% of all of them, and yet right now they're just dropping them left and right. This one's Omicron. This one's Omicron. Something's off here, guys, just like with Delta. They were not capable of doing what they did with Delta. And I'll show you that in the very next post here. But it says, as of February, that rate places the U.S. the 34th in the world. But it's, and get this, and this is the group that's telling you they know all this. American scientists and public health authorities have been flying, if not blind, then at least with tunnel vision. Right, but we're trusting them now, right? Here's the BMJ making it very clear with statistics. And this is when they were challenging what Biden said. It says, or not challenging, but just filling out with the right data, the U.S. lags other nations in gene sequencing, the technique that allows South African scientists to identify Omicron, which, by the way, it seems that that's not even what happened, the more I dig into the story, but that's not the point here. Iceland is the leader in sequencing. According to Johns Hopkins, it has sequenced 29.2% of samples. That is the leader in the world. The leader in the world, and they have to date only done, and this is to date, this is as of, where is it? Right there, November 30th. So, minus a week. In the world, Iceland is the leader with 1% shy of 30% of their samples. That means that 70% of their samples in their country, they don't know. That's the world leader. That's compared with only 4% in the UK, 3.5% in China, 2.34% in Ireland, 2.33% in Canada, 0.997% in the United States. Right. And then 2086 in South Africa, but we're going to pretend they somehow managed to pick just the right one. Maybe her argument is that the symptoms look different, but that doesn't appear to be the case. So something's strange here, guys. Now, right out of the gate, 0.997%. That is what the U.S. government has sequenced in this country. That's as of November 30th. But yet we're somehow going to pretend that they're just able to just knock these things off left and right, and that all these countries are just going, 38 countries in the process of a week have managed to tell you it's Omicron, despite the fact that most of them don't even have these capabilities. And on top of that, it takes up to at least 48 hours to get this process done. Guys, this is nonsense. To what degree? I'll leave that to you. But I've made this point many times, and that's the last time I'm really going to make it for a while, at least, because I've made it a bunch recently. But come on. They are playing games. Here's the discussion, the show in which I had that discussion. By the way, for those on this November 30th show, something weird went wrong with the links. I'm not sure what happened, but I went to grab them and some of them weren't there. I'm thinking maybe I may have accidentally closed them, so I apologize if there's something missing in this one. But as you all know, those that watch this show regularly, I go out of my way to give you like literally everything that I reference. Now, going forward, here is Justin Cohen saying the 7-day moving average for COVID deaths in South Africa. So the place that apparently this new deadliest thing started, or specifically the second place, Botswana is where it was found, is the lowest it's been since May 2020. The lowest. 7-day moving average for COVID deaths, the lowest it's been since May 2020, and the place that's supposed to be the epicenter for the big, bad, dangerous thing. Can someone explain to me why restrictions have been increased and events are being canceled relentlessly? Right. That doesn't really make sense, does it? It's because of hypothetical fear. All we need is the parasite stress theory. It doesn't even have to be real. Just the threat of something like that allows the government to move into an authoritarian state. That was multiple studies done long before this got here that found that's all they needed. The threat of a parasite or a virus, and people acquiesce. They allow the government to take over. Now, why would they have studies like that? And we can be sure they know about those studies. Do you think that's playing a role in their decision-making process? I can almost promise it is. Well, here is why, to answer his question. Yeah? Why are they doing this? Can anybody explain this to me? Well, at least one reason. Omicron variant, guess what? Made 9 billion euro in a week for top Moderna and Pfizer shareholders. You know, the two mRNA guys, the ones that are clearly the leaders that are going to be used for the future, right? Weird, right? The discovery of the Omicron coronavirus variant caused the wealth of 8 top Pfizer Moderna state shareholders to skyrocket by a combined $10.31 billion or 9 billion euro in 1 week. Gee, maybe that's why, right? So maybe that's why we're screaming about the danger, even though it's not more dangerous. I wonder if that's why all these things went up, because everyone's freaked out and we're buying more vaccines and we're forcing more vaccines and we're making more vaccines and money. Now, is that only the reason? Of course not. There's far more important reasons, in fact, to the people right leading this charge. But I believe $10 billion in profit for shareholders is a good reason to hype things up in the news. Think about that for a second and realize how obvious this stuff can be. We know it's not more dangerous based on the data so far. Know that. Again, could it change tomorrow? Yes. But this, guys, is an easy, easy possibility for why they would just yell danger, even if we haven't gotten there, on top of the control and everything else they're driving in. God, I feel like I'm missing something that I wasn't going to. I always do this sometimes and I jump ahead of myself when I feel like I didn't get to a point. Well, there was a point in here where I think I was going to reference the idea of the hospitalization. Now, I'll leave it alone until we get there. Maybe it was right here. I don't know. The idea is that they're in South Africa. There's a conversation right now about how this isn't more dangerous, except they're yelling the hospitalizations are increasing. Oh no. I bet you I'm going to jump onto it next and I'll be mad at myself. But the point is, I think I know why. Right? So if it's not more dangerous and all the data shows you that, and all they can do is go, well, we don't know. It could be. Look at the hospitalizations. Well, what else has been happening since this started that would weirdly correlate with the beginning of this and the rise in hospitalization since this has been discussed? That's right. The aggressive push to vaccinate South Africa. Remember all the screaming about that? And now suddenly the hospitalizations are increasing, yet seemingly not connected to COVID-19. Isn't that exactly what we heard in Australia and elsewhere when they go, we don't know why, and then we just didn't talk about that? it's unbelievably clear how obvious this is, and we're ignoring it, or the mainstream media rather is ignoring it. But remember that there's been multiple cases just like this, continuing to show you that not only Omicron, but just in general, that this is not working at the very least. But to the the most obvious point is that this is the pandemic of the injected. That's primarily where this seems to be happening right now. COVID outbreak on a U.S. cruise ship, despite fully vaxxed passengers. How many times does this need to happen? Can you, how can you blame some South African variant, or how can you blame some unvaccinated person? I'm not even joking. The last time I saw a discussion like this, when it was literally 100% of the passengers fully injected, they all had to be tested. They all had to prove it. The argument amongst the people there was one must have snuck in. That's actually their logic. So again, your logic is to argue that one person who did not take this injection puts all of you in danger. Then it's not working. That's not a variant discussion. That is just a person who doesn't have the injection discussion. That doesn't make sense. You guys are spreading it to yourselves and then blaming anybody anywhere to rationalize the choice. That's what's happening. And all of the data backs this up. We already referenced this, actually. But just to reiterate this again before we jump into Steve Kirch's article, September 30th, increases in COVID-19 are unrelated to the levels of vaccination across 68 countries. And 2,947 counties in the United States. If anything is going to be relevant, it's a study like that. And none of the mainstream media even touched this. It says, we investigate the relationship between the percentage of the population fully vaccinated and new COVID cases across 68 countries and 2,947 counties in the United States. Not even the CDC does that. And you heard this already. At the country level, there appears to be no discernible relationship between percentage of population fully vaccinated and new COVID cases, meaning that there has no difference on whether or not people continue to get sick. And there's more points. And of course, make sure you take that in conjunction with everything else we're talking about. What happens these days is you point to that, and then they'll just say, whoa, they're not more risk. Hospitalization and death is less, and they're not going to die. But those who know, you know, they just throw out all the talking points. None of the data backs that up. If there's no discernible relationship between this, that shows you that's not having an effect that is a positive effect. Then you add all the negatives you continue to see from the adverse events, from the studies that show you that everything we've talked about 100 times over, having a natural immunity and then getting the injection, adverse events, having antibody-dependent enhancement if you've been infected first and then get the injection, on and on and on and on. But adding that to the point, the sole reliance on vaccination as a primary strategy to mitigate COVID-19 and its adverse consequences needs to be re-examined. Trust the science as we ignore all of the things we don't like. Such course correction, especially with regard to policy narrative, becomes paramount with emerging scientific evidence on real-world effectiveness of the vaccines. It's amazing how this stuff is in real. Scientists out there see it. They just don't look at it. They just pretend like it's not there. Report released from the Ministry of Health in Israel said the effectiveness of two doses of the Pfizer injection against COVID was reported to be 39%. And you know this because you watch this show, but you won't hear that on the mainstream media. Substantially lower than the efficacy they claimed of 96%. Immunity derived, and don't forget, even at 39%, that's just the relative. Right? That means that your risk is reduced 39% relative to what the risk is to the person next to you that doesn't have the injection. So if both of you have a risk of like 0.01% and you get the injection, it gives you another 39% increase in that protection. So they claim that's nothing. That is not statistically significant in regard to what we're looking at. It says immunity derived from the Pfizer biotech vaccine may not be as strong as immunity acquired through natural recovery from COVID-19. Oops. It's obviously there, and even studies that aren't even talking about that are referencing it, but nope, can't touch that. Even though vaccination offers protection to individuals against severe hospitalization and death, I disagree with that, and we've proven that already. And in fact, literally proven that based on their data and other discussions, such as the fact that Biden's already rolling out the pill. Why? His actual statement was to reduce hospitalization and death in those who are being injected. How can you reduce something that's super, super rare? Isn't that interesting? But it goes on to say the CDC reported an increase, get this, guys, from 0.01% to 9% and from 0% to 15.1% in the rates of hospitalizations and deaths amongst fully vaccinated. Look at that. I mean, even if you think that's still less than everything else, which the data doesn't back up, that's a rise of 15% in death. 15% in death. So you're telling me over between January and May, over the process of those months, the fully injected had a 15% increase in death because of the injection? I mean, good God, that's so many people. But you won't see that anywhere because they won't tell you. This is from September 30th. Or rather, they'll just give you some kind of rationalization. But here is what the data actually shows you. And they won't talk about it. They can't explain why the vaccinated are more likely to get COVID and die. They can only offer hand-waving arguments with no actual data to support it, which is exactly what we keep showing you. They can only offer hand-waving arguments with no actual data to support it. In case you missed it, he says, here's a chart from a recent post by his good friend Matthew Crawford. It basically shows the more you vaccinate, the more cases and deaths you get. Critics would argue it's confounded. More elderly are vaccinated. Right, that's what we keep telling you. Well, it's because you have more, but more, you know, it doesn't make sense if you say that it's more deaths and hospitalizations and everything is because there's more there. That only makes sense if you argue that they're the same thing. That does no effect. If they're hurting and dying more, that makes it not work. But it says, but the same critics cannot show us this is false. They can only do hand-waving arguments that it must be wrong. Not very convincing. But to be fair, and this is exactly what we do and what he does and why this is, if it shows you the difference in the two stances. But to be fair, we can't cite this as definitive proof either that the vaccines are unsafe, right? You see, this is what we get or what we give from this side of it. We say, look, this is important, but we're not telling you this is 100% definitive that you shouldn't do it. We're simply saying that this needs to be investigated and that it's obvious that they're ignoring it. Why wouldn't they ask questions? You flip the screen, other quote unquote side here. They'll simply say that this is safe and effective 100% and they're all lying and you're wrong. Right? That there's no daylight in the conversation. You see the difference of those two arguments? So what he's saying here is that point. We can't tell you for sure, but they're trying to argue that it doesn't show you that for sure, even though it's obvious that there should be questions here. But it says, we actually agree with the critics that it is confounded, but here's why. Governments do not release the breakdowns publicly, so we can't do any better than that. If the vaccines are so safe, why don't they release the data to the public to show this? Is it just a fluke? He says, I don't think so. And I agree. Watch the video I'm going to show you next. The line goes the wrong way. The more you vaccinate, the worse that line gets. Of course, quote, we all know why this is. One, the vaccine depresses your immune system, which you've heard from me recently. And I'm going to show you again immediately after the shot and for an unknown time after that. How would that be something you would ever want? It can well be permanent. The vaccines, and I believe that's where we're going. Where your immune system is basically becoming the injections they give you. The vaccines can kill you due to blood clots and inflammation. The vaccine, seems to make it easier for you to get infected after a brief honeymoon period. That's the 50% increase we already talked about. That is, the vaccine efficacy goes negative. We see this in the UK data, for example. However, our health authorities are never going to figure this out, or they're choosing to ignore it because it would discredit them. Or he's saying the same thing. So they have to keep on singing the same tune, safe and effective, which doesn't even make sense anymore, guys. How in the world can something with like 45 different possible negative side effects, some of which are seriously damaging, be safe? Right? I mean, you could say it's effective, but if something can kill you, it's not safe. Even if it's a small percentage, right? This is the actual words they mean. Like the word dangerous, it just simply means able to cause harm. Therefore, these vaccines, by definition of the word, are dangerous. But they, you know, if I just say that on Twitter, they'll censor me. That shows you how stupid we are right now. But this is the important part. Trend correlations between people vaccinated and COVID-19 cases, deaths among 219 nations. The vax. Here, this is the best one to show you. Line. Basically, the overall risk is showing you that you are at more risk if you are vaccinated, both getting it, case in general, and dying. And this is just being kept from you.
Y-axis here, cases per 1 million. And here's the vaccinated percent going from lower to higher. So this is more highly vaccinated. And what you would want to see, of course, is if you had a very high cases per million count, you would want to see this dive over time like this. You'd want to see it come down and down and down such that there would be some magic threshold, some herd immunity number out there at the 70, 70, 75, Fauci's 80, 85, do I hit 90, right? It keeps talking about like there's some magic number where you reach herd immunity. So you would want to see the cases per million just keep falling off. In a perfect world, that's what we would see. We would see a line that slopes downward from left to right, from higher to lower. And at some magic threshold for herd immunity, we would see no more cases. That's not what we see. So let me get that line off of there. In fact, we see this line right here, which is actually going this way. And that's why they said there was a positive association, which is very odd. The more highly vaccinated you are, the more cases you're likely to see when you have a positive association. The other line I drew, this would have been the negative association line that would look like that. But that's not the line we see. So this is what happens when you use the data that they found and you just plot it all out. So again, 68 countries are on here. And here's Israel, who they mentioned. They have the highest rates up here with about, I don't know, 6,500 cases per million.
Think of Israel like the canary in the coal mine, guys. I mean, right out of the gate, the first and fastest to do what they're doing. They're furthest ahead in regard to the boosters for the most part. So that's alarming.
People showing up with cases. So again, a case is a case. Doesn't have to be symptomatic. Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that somebody's gone to the hospital. In fact, there's still relatively positive numbers on that front. But in terms of cases, in terms of catching this thing and passing it on, there doesn't seem to be an association here with the rates of vaccination, which is interesting. In fact, it's almost like there's no relationship at all. So they wrote here in their discussion, they said of the top five counties, that's in the United States because they did 2,900 plus counties, of the top five counties in the U.S. that have the highest percentage of population fully vaccinated. So these are counties that had anywhere from 99.9.
I was going to let it finish, but so the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention identifies four of them the highest transmission counties. You've heard this from me already. Very important, right? So all of this together, as always, shows you a very clear picture. The highest transmission rates, which means it's not that they're not just catching it from unvaccinated people. They're the ones spreading it higher than anybody else. All of this data put together is what shows you the pandemic of the injected. What they do is debunk one part independently of the others and act like that makes sense. It's obvious. All of it. And then this is where we show you this next part again, which I think is very important. Well, first of all, recognize to their point, this data is all out there. In the last 13 weeks alone, this is posted on November 28th, 107,700 seniors have died above normal rate, despite 98.7% vaccination rate in the United States. This is the one, some of these, oh, by the way, a lot of these tweets, which I included in the previous show, by the way, even though I didn't show them to you, I was able to get them back. Even though, like, the only reason I have the tweets working today is because, here, I'll just show you. For some reason, I'm able to look at them this time, which I'm not sure why, because last time I wasn't able to look at anything while I was in Twitter jail. But if I try to like something, it does that. And I think it pauses you until you hit start again, actually, on your countdown. Interesting. But I was able to hit the back button on every tweet from yesterday, and it brought me back to the tweet. So I just want to make sure I got them in here today for you. So moving forward, this is the one I had from the other day that I already kind of referenced. As he says, listen, people, the 25,000 plus nervous system disorders means it's working. Why can't you understand that? And this was the one we just showed you from yesterday. Over 42,000 adverse, or day before yesterday. Where it was revealed the 42,000 adverse reactions reported in the first batch of the Pfizer vax. Now, this brings us to this point, which we've shown you many times. I'll just include this for you to look over. This was week 48 of the UK data, which shows you when you go through this, very clear pictures. And I'll just include this, show you at the top so you can see what it looks like. So you can look through the data. I'm going to revisit this again on week 49, just like Daily Skeptic and a couple others have started doing because it's clear. One of the only ones still giving you the vax versus unvax information. But just to make it quick, I will go back to referencing the Daily Exposé, who did the same kind of thing on this breakdown, making it clear that fully vaccinated accounted for 4 in every 5 COVID-19 deaths in England. But here's the point of the data breakdown. Of the cases in that data, 59% of the cases were in the fully injected, fully vaccinated, just to make it simple. 59, 41% in the not vaccinated. Hospitalizations. Of all the hospitalizations in that 3-week period, people who tested positive, 64% of the hospitalizations were fully vaccinated. So it's not a rare thing if that's what we're staring at, no matter how many people are there. As far, on top of the fact that that's the majority is in the vaccinated side, which doesn't add up with what they're saying. That, and then the most important part, alleged COVID deaths, 80% of the deaths between November 1st and November 28th, 80% of them were fully vaccinated. That's not, that no way adds up with what they're saying. Only 20% of the deaths were not vaccinated. 20%. Then add and make sure you remember that there's 30 million plus people in the United States who got one shot, never came back, which they count as unvaccinated. There are people right now that are in between their second and third booster shot, and they count as unvaccinated. There's all sorts of categories that aren't being counted as what they really are. We're going to address that in today's show, in fact. This is an important article to read through, though. Let me close some stuff really quickly. Oh, man, I just realized really quickly that I forgot to show you something. Or at least I skipped over this somehow. Yeah, that's interesting. I can't believe I skipped this. This is really important. This will be in the show notes anyway. But this is the COVID-1984 pointing out that the UN is now taking down private websites. That was with the censorship point that I skipped over, but that's important to circle back to here. This is the Ice Age Farmer going over this information. My point was simply that that's where we're going. And I highly believe that's going to come to us one day, to our website, to our domain, which is why we need to find ways around all of this, guys. Just sort of a disjointed point there, but that's important. I'm glad I didn't forget that. Okay. Back to the point. Okay. That one, I'm glad. See, that was a tweet that I missed yesterday. So, I think I just lost. That's weird. Well, I think I just messed something up there. I'm not sure what I just missed. I think I just closed something I wasn't supposed to. Gotta love that when you have so much stuff. But 80% of the deaths, if I can trigger my memory, 80% of the COVID-19 deaths between November 1st and November 28th were fully vaccinated. Well, the not vaccinated count for just 20%. Oh, and I was referencing that point that we'll get to in a minute in regard to the vaxxed, that's what it was, the vaxxed and the not vaxxed definitions, which are continuing to come out right now as being, I mean, there are studies now coming out pointing out how obviously they're playing with those definitions, and that's what they're using to manipulate. Going to the next part, and this is a really important one. This is one of the ones I was mad I couldn't remember during that show when the tweets were gone. This is a really important study breakdown from a professor at Queen's Mary University, London, showing you exactly the point, and he finds the same thing. Our research team have now analyzed the ONS England November mortality data. We conclude that despite seeming evidence to support vaccine effectiveness, this conclusion is doubtful because of a range of serious inconsistencies and anomalies. Now, this might actually be, let me make sure. Yeah, right. Okay, so this is the one we're going to get to in a minute. The only reason this disjointed now is because I was trying to plug in those tweets from yesterday. But let's see. Yeah, I'm going to read through this now, and then I'll just reference that study when we get there. Now, this is a really important one. Again, professor at Queen's Mary University of London. So they looked into this data, and right out of the gate, they're telling you that it's a range of inconsistencies and anomalies, which you could also see as manipulations and lies, right, if you believe they're doing it on purpose. The data appeared to show lower non-COVID mortality for the vaccinated compared to the unvaccinated. He said, odd. Also, unvaccinated mortality. And remember, this is where they tried to argue that somehow the shot decreases your all-cause mortality in general. You live forever, right? Which was just ridiculous. It's playing with the data and using something like that to make it sound like the shot is a miracle shot. It improves you in general, but it doesn't. He goes on to say, also, unvaccinated mortality rates peak at the same time as the vaccine rollout peaks for the age group, then falls and closes in on the vaccinated. It's not natural. And he explains this. Consider what we are witnessing here. We have a vaccine whose recipients are suffering fewer non-COVID deaths, or so the data claims, and hence are benefiting from improved mortality. And the mortality rates look to differ significantly from historical norms as evidenced in mortality life tables. Now, we'll follow along because that's not what this is actually showing. That's what he's saying the data seems to represent, but it doesn't add up. Correlating unvaccinated mortality with vaccine rollout, we see curious patterns. dotted line in the proportion of people getting first and second doses. You can see the graph here for those not on the podcast. Why are the unvaccinated dying not after? Why are the unvaccinated dying after not getting the first dose? Why are the single doses dying after not getting the second dose? Right? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Plenty of evidence that the vaccinated who die within 14 days of vaccination may be categorized as unvaccinated. See where it's going? Then someone who dies within 14 days of the first dose is miscategorized or intentionally miscategorized as unvaccinated, and a similar thing could happen post the second dose. What do you know? Exactly what we've been saying. And I promise you this is being used intentionally. That's my opinion. Miscategorization might explain odd phenomena in ONS mortality. To correct the error, we can take the difference between the expected mortality for the unvaccinated and the data and reallocate this unexpected excess mortality to the vaccinated to get new adjusted estimates. The early spikes in mortality that appear to occur soon after vaccination may be caused by the infirm, moribund, and severely ill receiving vaccination in priority order and thus simply appearing to hasten deaths that might otherwise have occurred later in the year, meaning that they were sick, they got the shot, they died, and they went down as unvaccinated. What do you know? Now, of course, you could argue that it wasn't just the vaccine, but clearly, if that's what happened, then it seems that that's a factor. And if they're going to argue people who die from something else with COVID is a COVID death, therefore, that is a vaccine death. Turning to COVID mortality, it says at face value, there appears to be clear evidence of vaccine effectiveness. But, right, so when you just look at the data, like the media does, without questioning it, it appears that way. But after vaccination, people endure weakened immune response, as you know, for a period of up to 28 days and may be in danger of infection from COVID or other infectious agents at any time in that period. Not maybe, the data shows you that's clear. It also doesn't show you that it ends in 28 days. That's just when the study ends. It seems to, like he just showed you in the previous discussion, possibly indefinitely. Your immune system is suppressed. It therefore makes sense to examine infection rate or infection date rather than date of death registration. It says we adjust for this using a temporal offset and see a large spike in mortality for all age groups during the early weeks. Then COVID prevalence was high. When COVID prevalence was high, and when the first dose vaccinated rollout peaked. Here's the most important part. After our offset adjustment, we observe no significant benefit of the vaccines in the short term. They appear to expose people to an increased mortality in line with what we know about immune exposure or pre-infection risks. This shouldn't be that big of a shock because we've already backed this up with previous data, right? I mean, from multiple studies, peer-reviewed. That this is what we continue to see, that especially in the short term, it's actually an increased risk. They expose people to increased mortality, which when then potentially kills them, hurts them, hospitalizes them, and all of those things go down as unvaccinated. That's what this study is telling you. Whatever the explanations for the observed data, it is clear that the ONS data is both unreliable and misleading. Absent any better explanation, Occam's razor would support our conclusions. The ONS data provide no reliable evidence that the vaccines reduce all-cause mortality. This is the latest of numerous attempts to decode the ONS hieroglyphs. That's not an accident, guys. They're doing this to make it hard because they don't want you to be able to piece this together. But now we may have stumbled across the Rosetta Stone to help solve the puzzle. This is unrewarded work done at some considerable career risk. Exactly. Some of our career clinical collaborators could not put their names on the paper. Meaning they, well, and so we, you may walk away thinking they didn't want to because they don't agree with it. But remember that there's plenty of people out there. As that cardiologist leading in the world cardiologist told you, a lot of these people are just afraid to do what they know is right because they know they'll be attacked for it. And those who want to say this guy's doing it for popularity, that's got to be the dumbest statement you could possibly make, as clearly none of them have gotten anything but negative side effects from choosing to stand for the truth, which is what they hope you see so you don't stand up for the truth. It's pretty obvious. Now, we're going to point that out later in the show again, but to make this point again quickly, realize that we've made this point in that past show. This interesting correlation between these few data points show you undeniably that this injection is not safe for you. And I think for anybody, okay? It's very clear, as this study from Swiss Policy Research makes the argument for cancer, that it says right here that in these studies, it's shown that up to 50% of those who get the injection induce a temporary immune suppression or immune dysregulation called lymphocytopenia that may last about a week or possibly indefinitely. The data isn't seemed, the study ends and it's continuing. So it could go on forever. 50%. And that's undeniable. Every people from mainstream to any other sources are beginning to point this out. Of course, from one argument, they may be because of the unvaccinated, but either way, that's where we are. That's happening. Okay. So 50% of these injector people who are injected are having immune suppression, which is causing their body to get all sorts of other things, as well as be more at risk to the very thing we're trying to be protected from. I talk about that. Or this study. Yes, this is the one I talk about next here. I'm including the links for you to read. This one we just talked about as well. This is the study from March 2nd, 2021, early effectiveness and showing you the effectiveness in the beginning. And the main point is, as this shows you, read for yourself, as we've talked about before, that it increases, as they were just referencing, your risk of catching COVID-19 by 50% in the first 7 days. That's what this shows you. The first 7 days, baseline being one, it goes up by, if it went to two, that'd be 100% increase. It increases by 50%. So you have a 50% increased risk of catching COVID as well as other things in the first 7 days. And in fact, your increased risk in general lasts 20 days until it drops below one. Okay, so far you have an immune suppression that could go on forever. You have at least 20 days, seven, where you have 50% increase of getting sick. This is something that's supposed to keep you safe. Don't forget that. The next one, on top of those two things, here's the article where I discuss this next part. Jab doubles the risk of cardiac event. We have this one from one of the leading cardiology journals in the world, where it shows you that it doubles your risk of cardiac event. All of these things put together, immune suppression, 50% increase in infection and COVID risk, doubling your risk of cardiac event. How in the world can you walk away from these things and pretend that this makes you safe? At the very least, you can walk away thinking, well, that first week is going to be a doozy. Well, what if they die? What if they're old? What if they're already sick? What if they already have heart problems? These are the people that are collapsing and being named unvaccinated despite having these shots. Like this guy. Dead at 53. Football coach dies of heart attack while celebrating team's last minute winner. Endless amount of these. I could play video after video after video, all of verified 2001, 2021 forward incidences of people in athletic positions, children and otherwise, collapsing. We have experts and people speaking out. We just talked about Kevin Gage, yes, in the last show, who is actively speaking out about how nobody's standing up for this and what's going on. You realize the mainstream media is actively laughing about this because we're crazy conspiracy theorists, while the people in this field are acting like they're outraged, not acting, they're outraged that people won't talk about this. This is how ridiculous the mainstream media is, because some of them actually believe what they're saying. Robert Malone shares an article from Free West Media. At least 69 athletes collapse in 1 month. I believe we actually referenced this already. Oops. Jeff Black pointing out T-Lab was one of the first to report on this phenomenon. Here's a link to the one of the first podcasts where it's discussed. If you want to know, basically, here's a link to the first one. This isn't the first one, actually. This is the second one. This one was on November 15th, 12th, 11th. November 11th. The first one we did was on November something, 2nd, 3rd. I forget. But this is the best one to look at. It shows you the obvious cover-up and the real situation, like 2019 from before. I think it was 1.46 athletes collapsing out of every 100,000 per year. We are astronomically past that. And they still act like we're crazy making it up. It's amazing when you prove these things, and then that's when you become conspiracy theorists, right? That's what I keep telling you. It's only conspiracy theory once you prove what you're saying. Here is what a former Wimbledon champion is telling you. Why? Because they're all very aware of what's happening and it's being covered up.
And they convinced an 89-year-old woman to go and get a vaccination. And she goes out there and gets it. And they, you know, somebody points to me and said, you got blood on your hands if you don't, you know, do this and do that. I'll tell you, you've got blood on your hands. The doctor who didn't check my mum, the doctor or the people who convinced my mother at 89 to get a vaccination, 4 days of splitting migraines followed by two strokes and a heart attack.
Yeah.
You've got blood on your hands, buddy. Why did they do that to an 89-year-old woman? It's been her. Now she's had to care. She had to get looked after. She was on her own in an apartment. She was great. She had collapsed on the floor. My brother just got there in time. They resuscitated her. What? And I said to Mum, she recovered, which is amazing. I said, Mum, tell your cardiologist what happened. She said, I did. And I said, can you report it, please? She said, there's no point reporting it. Adverse reaction. No point. Nobody listens.
Right.
Mum, tell him. You know, she, I didn't want to stress her. She did two strokes and a heart attack. I was like, she basically said, nah. No. That doctors aren't reporting this.
Exactly what Jimmy Dore's doctor told him.
Things. So we're not getting the truth on that side.
So remember that those doctors are also not speaking up, right? So they're well aware that there's a cover-up going on, and yet they're not saying anything. You know why? Because they've been made abundantly aware of what will happen to them if they do. Now, it's easy to judge those people, and trust me, I do too. It's hard. It's frustrating not to see them speak up. But, you know, you can counterbalance that with the idea that they may have a family and bills and obligations and children in college. And, you know, who knows what they may be concerned about? Or maybe they just care more about their personal life than they do about doing the right thing. Now, I don't like that. I find that to be distasteful, but not everyone thinks the same way. Bottom line is, the vast majority of people, I contend, are very aware of what's going on. Engineered. That's not the right word. They've been trained how to see. That's not the right word. But bottom line is, these people know what will happen to them. They know if they speak up, they'll get Jensen'd, right? They'll get Dr. Whatever. Any one of these people you can talk about. Dr. Jensen's the best one because it was so obviously he was right. And he's been consistently right. And he still gets attacked. He'll be, quote, debunked by these morons out there for the rest of his life because he said one thing that was proven to be true. I mean, that's crazy. So you recognize these doctors are terrified, but it just continues to show you. Wow. As our stream struggles. God, it's frustrating. Doing everything they tell us to do. Let me know in the chat if it's working for you. Just thinking about the StreamYard thing. We're using the incognito window, direct plug to the wall. It doesn't matter, guys. We are getting to technocratic censorship. It's never going to stop. We need to find ways around this because they will do everything they can to stifle the feed. I mean, there's nothing I can do. I'm just going to continue forward. I hope you guys can hear me.
And you know what? And the trouble is with the mainstream media is, as you said earlier, you're only getting one line of messages. So we're not getting constant coverage about the million reported adverse reactions on the MHRA. We're not getting the story about the 30,000 people across Europe who've died from the vaccine. You get constant stories. I didn't have the vaccine. Oh dear, I wish I had, and now I'm ill or my brother's ill. You get plenty of those, but you do get the feeling that.
All right. It looks like it's correcting itself now. The other reason that bothers me so much is there's just literally nothing else I can do. Like, it's just the best possible saying robot voice, right? I mean, it happens. It's outside of our control. So just think of that as this goes forward. If it's even remotely, even a fraction of what we're concerned about is about to happen, that'll be the first thing to go. Talking about the UN removing direct domains. I mean, for crying out loud, if all they need to do is throttle your feed, I mean, it's game over, guys. So we need to think solutions outside the box, right? It's important.
There's a very skewed type of reportage
There's no doubt. There's no doubts about that. And I think that's the sort of the frightening thing, isn't it? Really, the censorship of really good people, and then the shutting down, the debunking of these people who are, you know, top scientists and independent scientists I mean, I suppose you go back and say, what is the reasoning behind all this? Yes. Is it just money?
It's in part, but it's more than that, as we know. But he's right. I mean, it's just staggering that anybody who's honest with themselves can very clearly see that it's impossibly wrong to censor people who are experts in their field because they're saying something that you've established from a political level is not the right thing. Like, it just is amazing. Even if they're wrong, I mean, that just continues to show you that it's not about having any kind of scientific debate. It's about deciding what is the narrative and then forcing the scientific field to toe that line. That is crazy. And nobody honest can argue that's the opposite. That is obviously what's happening. Well, on that side, you've just decided that's the right thing, so it doesn't bother you. You know, it's just childish. And we all know that. Even they somewhere in there know that. They just feel like they're winning. That's what it comes down to. They've won this. They've got the one up. They got what they liked and they're wanting. Now you have to wear your mask, you stupid Republican. Like, that's the kind of mindset. And you could flip that in the same way about the Republicans screaming at the Democrats. It's the same childish mindset. The only reason I use that analogy today is because that's the dynamic. People need to get out of that two-party paradigm. It's going to teeter-totter back the same way it has before a million times. But this study shows you, coming off of the collapsing athlete point, on top of everything else, from November 28th, another study the mainstream media is choosing to ignore. PhD, 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 MD, right? Totally just this fringe conspiracy theory garbage from Oxford Academic Clinical Infectious Diseases. You know, one of the most highly regarded publications. Epidemiology of acute myocarditis, pericarditis in Hong Kong adolescents following community vaccination. Well, that's interesting. I don't know whether this is actually the supposed mythical community, or that's just what they're saying because it's now been approved, quote unquote. But don't forget what we just showed you. That as of September 13th, Daily made it clear that Pfizer is announcing that they are not going to release this product. It says, at present, Pfizer does not plan to produce any of the product with the new labels, essentially, while the emergency authorized product is still available. So they're going to make you use the unapproved experimental injections until that's gone. And then they're going to make the thing, if that's even what happens, now we're 30 steps into Omicron and the new injections, and I'm pretty certain that the community claim from the FDA was just a way to get people to take the unapproved injection. Doesn't mean that they didn't just approve something they didn't deserve it. I mean, it's all it takes is just a name, a statement. But it's obvious that they wanted to use the thing they had indemnity for, and they're still pumping that out while people are being forced under the illusion that it's been approved. It's crazy. But on that note, here's what they found in regard to the Pfizer injection at the very least. This is the results. Between June 14th, 2021 and September 4th, 2021. 33 Chinese adolescents who developed acute myocarditis, pericarditis following community vaccination were identified. Now, in general, so those that remember, myocarditis tends to be used in a kind of ubiquitous way for both of them. Myopericarditis is actually both of them, and they're both just similar. Myocarditis is the inflammation of the heart. Pericarditis is a different part of it, as I understand it. But regardless, think of them as just swelling of the heart, by inflammation of the heart, excuse me. Now, it says the incidence after the first and second doses were 3.37 and 21.22 per 100,000 persons vaccinated, respectively, which is staggering. And I'll use Robert Malone's article to make this point clear. It says, conclusions, there is a significant increase in the risk of acute, a significant increase in the risk of acute myocarditis, pericarditis following Pfizer's injection, not vaccines, not Moderna, specifically Pfizer, after Chinese male adolescents, especially after the second dose, continuing to back up what we've been telling you from the very beginning. From the very beginning, because this data was very clear, even back then. And they've been hiding it from you. Here's what Dr. Malone points out, breaking that down into the appropriate way to make the risk clear. One in every 2,680 people, young men, of course, but the way the data is slanting to men, but I don't think this is, I think overall, it's quite obvious this is not just men and not just children. The data makes that overwhelmingly clear. One in 2,680 develop acute myocarditis. In as far as the data points out, specifically adolescents and specifically young men are more tailored towards that. That's incredible. That's strange. So maybe that was, let me check something real quick. That's weird. It looks like my highlighter is doing something strange to the article. Anyway, I just note that it's doubling. Look at that. That's weird. Got to remember that. Anyway, so it says, but it didn't do it down here. That's strange. I think it's just on the Substack thing. It says, from Robert Malone pointing this out, strong data from a peer-reviewed article in the Journal of Clinical Infectious Disease shows that there is a significant increase in the risk of myocarditis following the Pfizer injection, especially after the second dose. It says onset was an average of 2 days. It says 1 in 2,680 young men will develop myocarditis within 2 weeks of their second dose. This study was an analysis of hospital records of myocarditis, pericarditis, so it did not include adolescents who may have developed the disease but didn't seek medical attention or didn't associate it with the vaccine, right? Or don't even know that they have it. So this is almost a guarantee it's going to be less. My opinion. Many pediatric cardiologists, including my colleague and friend, Dr. Kirk Milhone, MD, PhD, MD board certified in pediatric cardiology, PhD in vascular inflammation, so an expert, assert that there is no such thing as a mild myocarditis in children. I would say in general. Don't forget the NIH study that shows this, or rather on the National Library of Medicine, NIH, says you increase your risk of mortality by 25 to 56% over the next 10 years, 3 to 10, in fact, with a mild case of myocarditis. If you can increase your risk by possibly 50% dying, there's no such thing as a mild risk. Now, the serious risk of myocarditis is you could die very quickly. And it's what he's saying. That's the second expert we've now heard that from. There's no such thing as a mild heart problem, in my opinion, but he's saying no such thing as a mild myocarditis in children. Myocarditis causes heart damage. Heart damage is for life. The heart does not heal by replacing damaged cells. It scars. Scars in the heart can lead to changes in electrical conduction in the heart muscle, which in turn can result in sudden death. What do you know about that? Due to changes in heartbeat regularity and muscular correction of the heart. Contraction, excuse me. So all these sudden death discussions with no association to how they actually died, well, gee, here's association. These events may happen at any time, particularly when the heart is stressed in some way. Think of collapsing athletes. Think of any number of other things we're talking about, because this is happening everywhere. Now, does this prove that? No. But there's yet another, on top of the many, many, many other clear connections, correlations, using peer-reviewed data that they are refusing to acknowledge. His interpretation, more evidence that vaccinating young people with this vaccine is bad medicine. I would say anybody. Bad policy, and shows poor decision-making by the FDA on the rush decision to grant emergency use authorization status to these vaccines. With strong data, such as this paper, parents should consider very carefully before making the decision to vaccinate children. Finally, the idea that this vaccine should be mandated in our schools is absolutely wrong, or I would say in general. And if we do not reverse these decisions by national authorities, states, and local school boards, we will be sentencing a significant fraction of our youth to government-mandated heart damage. That's pretty alarming. All of this being ignored. Robert Malone, MDMS, you know, the inventor of the technology being used for the injections, who is telling you that that same technology is putting you at risk, they're ignoring. In fact, dismissing him at every turn, calling him the conspiracy theorist now. The leading expert. Think about how dumb that is. Was he always a conspiracy theorist? And then shouldn't that therefore call into question his very research on the mRNA in technology? No, we're going to use that while claiming he became a conspiracy theorist when he called out what he knows about it. Okay, that makes sense. Well, here's what it's causing. Australian youth diagnosed with myocarditis after the Pfizer jab, Michael Zarafa. Quote, he is a 17-year-old boy that is meant to be living his best life at the moment, his mother says. Michael is not able to do anything to stress his heart. That's exactly what we were describing. Right after getting the shot, and yet all we can do is go, we don't know for sure. That's still happening, by the way. Can't prove it, therefore we don't know. Therefore you're wrong, conspiracy theory. Here is Scotland. Cardiac data. Below the latest trends of cardiac attendances by Scottish Ambulance Service. This is excess above the 2018-2019 norm. Huge spike in summer, 500 ambulance calls per week above normal, mainly at 15 to 64. Exactly what I keep telling you. That was settling, then spiked up again in late October. I'm sure you know what that correlates with. Second is the out-of-hours cardiac calls. This is when someone's GP is closed, but they need to call a doctor about heart problems. It goes to the out-of-hours service. The 2018-2019 trend is purple, and we have a huge excess in the 15 to 45 age group calling about cardiac issues, specifically. From the data, we can clearly see this is not normal due to such excess, but we need to internalize that message. This is not normal. We should not see so many people, especially young people, encountering such issues synchronously in mass. Of course we shouldn't. It's obvious what's going on. But here's what we keep getting. And this isn't the best one. The next ones are even better, but this was an interesting one I wanted to plug in here. Heart attack patients are dying because medics can't put on full PPE in time to resuscitate them, say doctors at a leading health trust. Well, first of all, so it doesn't really get into why they're having heart attacks. It's interesting they're having so many that this is something they're discussing, but recognize, isn't this not a sort of a, I mean, however you look at this, it adds up to more people dying who have heart attacks, who therefore would be more people who are having heart attacks from the injection are dying. On top of that, one of the categories within that discussion, right? So it's interesting that the very thing they're told they need to do to keep them safe is what's leading to more people dying, which ends up as more unvaccinated death tally. But think about how dumb this is. Is it all about health? So in order to save them, you're doing what takes too much time to save them for your safety. Right. So, of course, you could argue, oh, they don't want to kill them. But okay, their argument is this is such a deadly thing, they have to do this. But it's not, though. It's very, very clearly not. Their own data backs that up. We're still pulling from the beginning of 2020 to argue this is dangerous. 3.6 death rate. Nope, that's false. It's obviously wrong. 99.7% recovery. People are not being killed. Under 19, it's one in a million. So what are we talking about? The vast majority of people are completely safe in regard to less than the flu. All they can do is go long haul, even though we've shown to be not accurate or at the very least wildly undefined. So we don't know for sure. So kill yourself, destroy your life. And I mean, it's like, it's just utterly absurd based on hypothetical fear. But now we're putting on PPE to keep yourself safe from something that you're not at risk from, most likely, and hurting people in the process. This is like injecting children to keep yourselves safe. Aren't you supposed to be the ones putting yourself at risk to save people? This would be like a firefighter donning his gear, and it took just long enough for the house to burn down. They go, oh, well, we had to put the gear on, but the house burned down while we put it on, so oh, well. Well, then we need firefighters who are willing to brave that fire without the gear. Otherwise, there's no purpose of having the job. Now, that's not a great analogy. The bottom line is I'm not suggesting these people don't have a right to keep themselves safe, but this doesn't make sense in the context of health and what is best for these people in the position. Heart attack victims have lost their lives because doctors are still obliged to put on full COVID protection equipment before resuscitating them in hospitals. Are they sick with COVID? No. Right? They've been tested. They know they don't have COVID. So why in the world do they have to wear this to fight them, to protect them from something they know that they just tested and they don't have? Well, because one, they don't know that because the test isn't accurate, and they know that too. On top of that, it's just about narrative. Doctors are a leading health trust in London say the valuable time is being lost when patients go into cardiac arrest. So again, you have people that are dying from heart attack, and that's adding numbers. A doctor at one London trust said, quote, it takes between 1 to 2 minutes for us to put this PPE on, and that can be the difference between life and death. Great, so we're going to keep letting people die for that irrational action for somebody who you just tested, who's been told that doesn't have COVID-19. But here's where we get into the more absurd parts of it, just pulling in everything. Climate change, cold weather, everything, right? So think about all the things they're blaming this on, and then go back to this point in your mind and realize, okay, well, they're letting these heart attacks die seemingly to some degree. Researchers warn that cold weather can cause blood clots and heart attacks. Why is that even a thing to warn about? So should we wear a jacket? Is that what you're saying? No, they're not trying to keep you safe from the cold. They're just putting this out there in the world. So when somebody dies of a heart attack, they can go, well, it could be cold weather. That's the most obvious. That is on the nose. I can't even think of the word enough that makes it seem as silly as it is. Why would you stand up and warn about things that could be caused by cold weather when there's no logical action you could take to stop that other than being healthy? So cold has nothing to do with it, right? As he says, they have no shame. But this is about trying to create the context of why we're having this overwhelming representation of cardiac events when they just want to blame it on because of lockdown or whatever else. None of that adds up. None of it. Here's one that's going to blow your mind. Here's an interesting point. Somebody shared this with me as an image, and I went to try to find it. It's a health agency, essentially, arguing that it's all climate change. And I'll show it to you in a second. When I tried to find it, I went to Twitter, right? For those of you who don't know, you can find the advanced search by like three steps, which is ridiculous because they probably don't want you to advanced search the platform. But you have to search for something, then hit the three dots, then hit advanced search, then search for something. Then it's ridiculous. But I searched it exactly what this says, as you can see. And weirdly enough, Twitter says nothing. As you can see, we searched for this group. You can see the name. Nothing. No results. Isn't that strange? But I found it, though, by taking way too long, digging through this person's platform, and found the tweet. And look, sure enough, it's very clearly right there. It's very clearly this same name, but Twitter didn't show it to me. Isn't that strange? You can read, I'll include this. You can duplicate it for yourself. So I don't know what that means. Maybe Twitter just broke themselves to censor people, or maybe because they kind of don't want people seeing this because it's the kind of thing that we're pointing out. Just a thought. I don't know why they wouldn't show it up, but here's the point. Let's do this real quick. I looked at it a moment ago. Oh, there you go. Let's do it this way. Translate bio. Stay up to date on all things health news, tips, information, Brammer Press Office. So Brammer Press. This is, it looks like an Austrian or Danish. Either way, it's a health outlet saying heart attack, stroke, or premature birth, colon, we are already experiencing how climate change is affecting our health. That is shameless. The health system therefore needs a common agenda for climate protection, says Professor Dr. Christopher Straub. So we're seeing heart attack and stroke and premature birth. And clearly we're seeing how climate change is doing all of this. But wait a minute. What has drastically changed in the climate change status this year versus last year? Okay, nothing really. In fact, everything that's happened dramatically has been because of COVID-19 action. This guy is literally either the most ignorant person in this topic ever and has no idea. I mean, I don't know how any honest doctor could walk away thinking this, or he's obviously invested in this agenda. I'm sure there's more options than that. I don't understand how somebody honest can look at that and walk away thinking, well, it must be this broad abstract concept of climate change that's causing these very independently thin. This is dishonest. This is an almost criminal effort, in my opinion, to cover up what's happening, whether he knows that or not. That guy. Please look into this. Somebody says, yeah, I'm well aware Berlin is in Germany, but I don't see Berlin, if that's what you're suggesting. Yeah, I mean, I don't see it in there, but maybe I missed it. So I don't know why you would say that, but yep, Germany is in Berlin. I agree. Let's go forward. So hiding behind climate change, hiding behind what they claim is happening, covering up everything they're talking about, right? That's what's happening. In my opinion. But I think it's very obvious that this is being used. I mean, let's just say for a moment that this is what's happening. Let's just say that's clear and climate change is causing this, right? Well, you could then argue without a shadow of a doubt that to some degree, the heart attack, strokes, and premature birth that is falling under because of COVID-19 would be covered up by this, right? Yes, you couldn't deny that. Some of them will be swept in because they're just kind of broadly saying those things are happening right now because of this. Interesting. That's funny. Yeah, if I saw it say Berlin, I would have obviously said Germany. So I think I don't see it. But anyway, just funny. It's Berlin, Ryan, you dumb idiot. It's like, it's funny, people in the chat. Anyway, now going forward, here is what we are seeing in reality, that are being ignored, covered up, or just dumped into climate change somehow. Harper is only 7 years old. She had a stroke and hemorrhaging on her brain right after having the injection. My beautiful, wonderful niece Harper, she is so precious and sweet. Please pray for her. She's been given the injection 7 days ago, her first ever. Last night was taken to the ICU. It's everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. And this is her. She's able to walk again now. Just breaks your heart that this even happened to these people, right? But while this is happening, we're seeing stuff like this. This is the Pfizer CMO Right. So, of course, they trot out the underling to say this because they don't want to be the one saying it, because this is going to be the guy who gets thrown under the bus if and when something actually happens. This is this guy literally having the nerve to stand up now and sit there and say that nothing, not a single death has been caused by these injections, or specifically Pfizer. That's why they rolled up the CMO, right? Because Borla's not going to come out and say that because he doesn't want to be the one that gets attacked when it's obvious this is happening. Take a look at this. I mean, this is upsetting that they have the nerve to stand up and say this right now.
Be clear that when we're talking about the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, there have been no deaths have been reported to have occurred directly as a result of the vaccine and the vaccine alone. Okay? There have been deaths reported with other vaccines, and they're now beginning to look into the reasons for this. But I think that that really needs to be clarified. Let me make it clear that when we're talking about the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, there have been no deaths have been reported to have occurred directly as a result of the vaccine and the vaccine alone.
No, I mean, I don't even know how you can argue something like that. Have reported to, I mean, let's listen to it again.
Deaths have been reported to have occurred. There have been no deaths have been reported to have occurred.
I mean, that's incredible. He's not saying they haven't occurred. He's saying no deaths have been reported to have occurred. I don't even know how you can get away with such a lie. Obviously, there's been an unbelievable amount of reports. They're just dismissing them. So I mean, if he was going to be honest, he would say that there's been no deaths because they've just dismissed them all. They've proven they're not, even though that's not true. I mean, not honest, I should say, but if he was going to, you know, whatever, toe their line, he's actually saying that we don't even have reports. They're pretending like theirs doesn't exist. This is how incredibly criminal this has become. They are off the rails. They're off the rails that are off the rails. They have gone so far away from this. They're just, they don't even care that we see that they're lying. I'm speechless.
Directly as a result of the vaccine and the vaccine alone. Okay. There have been deaths.
Yes, there have. In fact, there's been many reports of that exact thing
reported with other vaccines, and they're now beginning to look into the reasons for this. But I think that that really needs to be clarified.
Oh, really? Okay. So it's all the other ones, right? Pfizer's good. It's all the other bad guy ones. Doesn't that sound like something I told you might happen? Yeah. That needs to be clarified. It's all the other guys. Not even close. I mean, this is just unbelievable. But, you know, unfortunately for this guy, we have plenty of examples, which just breaks my heart. 5-year-old died 4 days after Pfizer shot. Their data shows. Just one of the recent ones from the Defender. You can find endless amounts of this exact kind of report. Took the shot, died tomorrow, died the next day. That's a report with nothing else involved. They just go, well, we can't prove it, therefore it doesn't exist. That is not how that works. I mean, is he pretending he doesn't know this is there? Obviously not. They're just blatantly lying to you. Yes, because he's a sociopath, in my opinion, or he's too ignorant to know he's being used. Veyer's data released today by the CDC, and this was on the 3rd, included a total of 927,740 reports of adverse events, of side of effects of the injection, from all age groups, including 19,532 deaths following the injection, and 146,720 serious injuries between December 14th, 2020, and November 26th, 2021. Unreal. Unreal. That's fantastic. So this says, of the 8,986 U.S. deaths reported as of November 26th, 20% occurred within 24 hours of vaccination. 26% occurred within 48 hours of vaccination. 61% occurred in people who experienced an onset of symptoms within the first 48 hours. Unreal. Always good stuff in these articles. You should read for yourself. And to add to that same point, as this person is saying that there's no evidence of reports. Here's another one from December 2nd. Right. So let's be clear. Here he is speaking on the 4th. Here's 2nd. So 2 days before that, here's the report. 120 children hospitalized. Province suspends Pfizer vaccine batch. Tahoe has suspended the use of a Pfizer COVID-19 batch after over 120 students were hospitalized following their inoculations. So, obviously, it's the batch-focused discussion and the expose was just having, the daily expose, right? In fact, I believe they might have broken that story, if I remember correctly, showing you that it's based on the batch. You can see very clearly that there's been specific, that not all batches are the same, which is crazy, especially since you can see that they have been focused in certain areas. Regardless, this one appears to be a bad one. But here's the main point. Over the past week, 3 children have died following their vaccination with the COVID vaccine. Okay, did he not know that? Does he not care? Did he not look in? These people are supposed to be the most up on the information, and yet here we are pointing out that he is wrong. I'm not proving that these are connected, but there are reports of death following the injection with nothing else involved. And that's exactly what he just said is not true. The cause of death has been determined, quote, overreaction to the vaccine. That is what they discovered and what they found as the government of this province. An overreaction to the vaccine. This guy is just blindly either ignoring this or choosing to, I mean, again, it comes down to either he doesn't know about it or he's lying, period. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, this stuff is right in front of us. Here's Brian Tyson, MD, pointing this out, like literally just sharing the article and quoting the article and then saying exactly what the headline says. Nothing else. But according to Twitter, misleading. Learn why officials consider COVID safe and effective. Okay. What does that have to do with his post? Safe for most people? Most people. Okay, so then that means those people can get hurt. So why is it misleading exactly? Because it literally happened and they literally found an overreaction of the vaccine. That's what the doctors and the government found. But according to Twitter, it's misleading because you're just not allowed to say that today. See how that works? So facts are misleading if you say the wrong facts today. This is just unreal. They don't even care that we see this. That's how obviously this has gone off the rails. Now, all the stuff we're talking about with children and all the increased risk of the children dying and the hiding of this information, a man in New Zealand dropped his 2 kids off at the local pool only to return to find his children have been coerced into getting vaccinated by a government mobile vax clinic. Apparently, according to them, in these authoritarian states that we're all apparently in now, over 12s don't need a parental consent. So we don't care that they could die. They could get myocarditis. We're going to manipulate the kids into social peer pressure, right? Don't let people force you to do drugs, right? Say no to drugs unless the government's forcing them on you and pressuring you and your friends to do it for money and tricks and sweets and whatever else, right? I mean, think about how dumb that is. But don't worry, though, because according to the government, it's never going to go away. Right? Don't worry. It's just going to keep going on forever. United Kingdom has now announced that this threat to the NHS is going to go on for the next 5 years. And quote, testing and vaccines may be needed for a decade or longer, according to Sage, the government advisors. Right. Did you not see this coming? You should have, because we told you this would happen. You're going to hear me in about 10 years going, if you knew this was going to last for 11 years, would you still have complied, right? I said that the first month. If you knew this was going to last for 3 months, would you continue to comply? Then it was 6 months. And I said, if you knew this was going to last for a year, would you continue to comply? And I promise you, most of you would have been like, no. But you were convinced at some level this was going to go away in a week, in a day, in 15 days, in 3 months, whatever they kept telling you. Now, here we are, as they're telling you, this is probably going to go on forever. And all they're going to do is blame some other group for some other action that is as long as it keeps this going. I mean, look, think about it this way, guys. Even if you're out there thinking and genuinely believing, even if it actually is the truth that it's the unvaccinated who are choosing not to do this that are causing this to continue. Wouldn't the obvious action then just to be to accept people's choices of their own bodies and accept other actions instead of continuing to drive in an action that you continue to be shown to not be achieving what you want? Like, why would the logical conclusion be force them to do what we're doing, even though you pretend that was never what you were going to do? Right? I mean, it's just baffling to me. Because if you really take a step back and realize the only reason we have yearly flu shots is because we have the flu shot. And if you allowed people just to get sick and recover and create antibodies and continue forward, that it would eventually become something that we have the so-called herd immunity to. And eventually every now and again, something might pop up a little bit different that would cause a little bit increase. Not like we're seeing today, because the vaccines are causing the rapid population of the variants like we just saw with Omicron in the 4 vaccinated people that spread it. But they don't care about that. If we allow the beginning of this to have something that was clearly less dangerous than the flu to spread around everybody, we would have been done with this in months. If that's even what was ever happening to begin with. And I'm still on that point. Crazy. Here is Daily Mail. Sage calls for, work from home, WFH, work from home guidance and vaccine passports. So now, in the face of Omicron wave, that's what they're saying. So Omicron, the thing that's been shown very clearly to be super mild, quote from the WHO, caused no deaths, have very mild symptoms, if at all, not spread, and by and large spread entirely by the injected. But now we're going to talk about work from home for everybody, vaccine passports in the wake of something that's not more dangerous. Yeah, that doesn't seem obviously coordinated. Whatever the next thing is, we're going to use it and move forward. Okay, Omicron, go! And warns that the variant is capable of triggering, quote, similar or even larger surge in cases, but admits jury is still out on jab escape. Okay, so warns about something that we already know isn't true, but could be, maybe, possibly tomorrow. We don't know. That's how that's working. They know the same information I know. They see what they're saying. They just saw what the WHO said. They know what the South African doctors in Botswana are telling them. They don't care. They just want it to be possibly more dangerous so we can rationalize maybe a bigger surge, maybe this or maybe that. And so we're locking down and we're wearing masks, we're doing passports, because that's what we've been planning for 15 years. With Brits told to expect 5 more years of COVID misery. Good Lord, guys. Number 10 scientists have called for the introduction of vaccine passports and work from home guidance to counter the spread of the super mutant Omicron COVID variant. Super Ninja Turtle mutant that's not more dangerous, but we're going to talk about it like it's dangerous. Documents released by the scientific advisory group, SAGE, oh, and here's that point I was saying from a long time ago, and subgroup NerveTag warned the highly evolved strain could cause a surge in cases similar or even larger than previous waves. Why? Well, because we don't know. It could be. But if you stand back and look at literally everything in front of us, all of the data points the other way. So that's what's called a dishonest representation of what we see based on fear that drives their agenda. Here's what they say next. The expert panel admitted, after they just scared you about what could be coming, that the jury is still out on whether it will cause more or less severe illness. Great. So we have no idea. It could be way less, but we're going to do all this anyway. But here's the thing. It says, with conflicting reports coming out of the epicenter in South Africa, where doctors insist most cases are mild, but hospital admissions seem to be rising. Please think about how obvious that is. So South Africa has this explosion of Omicron. No big problem there, right? So if you argue this thing was happening first, they found the case. Almost every other example would mean that there was more already happening. The idea that they caught it in the instant it happened is pretty ridiculous. So the idea that they caught this case, then suddenly the idea is that, well, if this is as dangerous as they snake it out to be, it would be everywhere. People would be catching, it would be spreading, it would be all over everything before we knew what was happening, based on the way they describe it, but not what happened. South Africa said it didn't transmit. They contact traced everybody. It didn't spread. It was super mild. Nothing. That's Botswana and South Africa. Then we saw the aggressive, screaming, just panicked push for South Africa to get injections, and surely the government went along with it, because they're clearly on the same path. So they were injecting. And then what do you know, exactly following those injections in the same time frame, we're seeing associated with the increase of, or rather the decrease of your immune system in the first week, the increase of your susceptible risk to infection within the first week, and the doubling of cardiac risk within the first week. Yeah, all of that in this perfect time frame after they rushed injections after the first to the second. Now we're seeing a spike in hospitalizations weirdly unassociated with the Omicron variant. What does that look like to you? It looks to me like a correlation with the injections, just like everywhere else in the world. but maybe I'm wrong, because they were always willing to admit that this is correlation and not causation, the opposite of what the mainstream will do for you. That isn't that crazy. Now, here is an interesting point about the passports. As Tim Hayward shares, Big Brother Watch points out that we are facing an issue of constitutional importance with the coming capture of all our data via a digital passport, vaccine passport. Now, this is the part where they make very clear. The NHS app has now been updated to include far more than vaccine jabs. Not just more jabs for the boosters, but on top of that, just other things. Data relating to mental health, lifestyle, ethnic origin, biometric data. Gee, it's not like they've been trying to collect that forever. And alleged criminal behavior. Yep, social credit score. Think about that. Now, let's take a watch for this. Actually, I believe I downloaded this one. I shouldn't always have to say that. Sometimes I forget which ones I grab. This is a longer one, so I'm going to grab this real quick while I speak to you. But don't forget, this is something that we have been telling you was coming for a long time. Right now, whether you want to believe that this was just the natural progression and we just got lucky, which is always the way that they dismiss the conspiracy theorists that they call out, whether you want to claim that's the case. Hold on, this thing's not loading for me. There we go. Or whatever variation of the narrative within that. I mean, it's pretty obvious that we are where the so-called conspiracy theorists told you we would end up, right? This is exactly what we said, that the passport wouldn't go away, that it would be expanded and it would be used, and it would evolve to being a general passport for any number of things, including climate change, social credit, and now this is where we are. Listen to this, and this is a good so many minute clips. I'm going to jump in here and there, but I'll try to let this play out for the most part, because this is quite alarming.
I am the furthest person you will ever get from a conspiracy theorist. It is always, in my mind, a cock-up, not a conspiracy. When people say, oh, there's some big plan to turn us into China and they're all going to watch everything that we do, I sort of roll my eyes and think, yeah, put the foil tin hat on.
I honestly think that's her just trying to kind of toss a line to the people. Trust me, I think conspiracy theorists are conspiracy theorists too. Now saying that, right? Come on. It's just an ignorant thing, especially for someone like her, who seems to generally call some of this stuff out. Obviously, it could be just as likely that it's a plan as it is a cock-up, as she puts it, which I love the UK term. But come on, it's kind of silly to start it that way. But that point aside, listen to the rest of it.
There are some developments in the last couple of days that are incredibly worrying for me, and I think should be worrying a lot of my listeners as well. Let's just go back to the beginning here. There was talk about having a vaccine passport for us to be using domestically. And then there was talk about having a vaccine passport, a way of proving your vaccine status to be able to travel abroad. I don't have an issue with that second one. You download the NHS app. It's going to show you your vaccines. Not so much an issue. I'd rather have it on a piece of paper, frankly. But, you know, I can understand that. A lot of people saying they wouldn't have it for domestic use. The government said, oh, these are separate things. Don't worry.
See, real quick, though, I don't like the downplaying of what a serious change that is. She's acting like having a passport on your phone is nothing different. We have never in our lives had a mandatory pass that we had to carry along with us that showed our vaccination status. These are not things that ever existed before. You have a card, maybe, that would go on some kind of file. But the idea that's a normal transition just to be a normal, oh, now it's just digital. That's not true. That is simply not true. And so I'm very skeptical that is some sort of a sidestep to get us to normalize the passport itself, even for people like her that may appear to be on your side. I don't know. Just something to think about.
The development in the last couple of days tells us that's not the case. What's happened?
Well, I completely share your concern and worry about this. I'm extremely worried about it. And if the question is there a big plan for COVID passes? Yes, there absolutely is. I mean, it's just irrefutable now. And I actually think it's been in place for many, many, many months.
Now, really quickly, before we get to that, I'll show you this right now, since this is one of the next points I'm going to get at. Not months. You guys know this already. It's not months. It's been planned since 2018. So make sure we don't forget that. 2018, you can see the plan. This is the UE website, or excuse me, EU website, EUEC.europa.eu. European Commission from two. This is the quarter three, 2019. Now you can clearly see the plan from 2018 to 2022 places between 2021 and 2022 commission proposal for a common vaccination card or passport. Like, it's just childish to pretend that they're exactly on plan and it's just by coincidence all the way out from 2018. Come on, guys. We are smarter than this for those. I mean, most of you here know this already, but those of you that are questioning that, it's just, it's the concern to be seen as a conspiracy theorist that scares people away from such obvious realities.
And the government has been barefaced lying about it. And this is a really, this is a point that cannot be escaped. You know, we have ministers on record saying, last year, at the end of last year in November, there are absolutely no plans for vaccine passports.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen. And at that time, they were actually signing contracts for tech companies to develop them.
Think about that. That's an important point to not skip over. They were saying we have no plans, which, by the way, even if they didn't have plans, it's just another political sidestep to say, well, we didn't have plans then, but now we made plans. When in reality, they always had a plan on the table. What she's saying is, and you can prove this, they said they had no plans for this. And at that moment, they were already commissioning these. We need to think about what that shows you in every possible way, around politics, whether it's COVID or foreign policy or whatever else. They're liars. They're saying what they want you to hear while doing what they want to do. We have to see that. I don't care if you want to rationalize it as they did what they thought was right and they knew that if they told us, the conspiracy theorists would change, blah, blah, blah. They still lied to you. They rationalized their lie and they did it for whatever reason they think that you're feeding into them. It's a lie nonetheless. So just recognize that. They were building this out before you ever saw it coming, for those that weren't paying attention.
£2 million contracts.
Yep. Absolutely.
£2 million.
And where we are today is that we're still in this kind of twilight zone where the government is pretending that they are having a review, they're thinking about it very seriously. Michael Gove is scratching his head. And meanwhile, the COVID vaccine status function has been put onto the general NHS app. And if you read the privacy notice, it says, this data will be useful for further aspects of unlocking as they arise, e.g. attendance at domestic events.
Wow.
This is a matter of constitutional significance. We have never had IDs in Britain. We don't have internal passports. We don't want internal health passports. The Conservative government knows that a lot of their own backbenchers are up in arms about this. In fact, there's well over the amount needed to execute a rebellion if needed.
And also, of course, the Labour Party has, they've criticised it, but then sat on the fence. But if the Labour Party joined them, then that would be defeated. Can I just clarify, though, what's happened again? So the vaccine passport, again, my mum downloaded it, ready to go on holiday. Yes, well, those naughty Amber List people. Oh, isn't she terrible? After her double jab, to prove that she's got her double vaccine and so she can get into France. But now it's been updated and these apps, most people just click on, yeah, it just update automatically. It's updated to add a lot of other things. Now, special category data has been added. So information relating to the individual's physical or mental health condition, not just related to vaccinations.
That's crazy. That this is now remember the multiple connections, including from the UK bill they put out that argued that there was a potential undermining of a person's mental status if they've had COVID-19. So that's going to become relevant, I promise you, if and when they want to play that card. But what's on top of that, don't forget, in this middle context included in what she's talking about there, is just the fact that you have this passport that you shot, that her mother sought out so she could go to France, up until they go, oh, now you need your third shot. Oh, and then your fourth shot, which Israel's already talked. We're going to show that later. So what's going to happen is it's going to go shot to shot to shot until you are on the hook with them forever. Until it's the next thing or the green pass, whatever it is. That's what they're showing you here. The third shot is just the first step. And they're already changing from not vaccinated to, or from fully vaccinated to not vaccinated when they suddenly need that third shot, whether or not you want it, whether or not you said, okay, two, and then I'm done because I'm just going to comply just so I can go to the beach. Now suddenly they're moving the goalpost. Jeez, I wonder why you didn't see that coming, seeing as how they've moved the goalpost about 1,000 times.
Information relating to the family. This is what's written on the app. I'm not making this stuff up. Information relating to the family of the individual and the individual's lifestyle and social
service. Lifestyle and so, oh my God, I didn't even hear that part. Lifestyle and social What does this have to do with anything other than tracking who you are, what you do, and what you think under a guise of COVID-19 health?
Information relating to the family. This is what's written on the app. I'm not making this stuff up. Information relating to the family of the individual and the individual's lifestyle and social circumstances is on the app. Information which relates to the ethnic origin of the individual. Information relating to the genetic biometric details where processed to uniquely identify an individual and criminal convictions or alleged criminal behavior.
Wow.
What the hell has any of that got to do with proving whether you've had two jabs or not?
Wake up, guys.
It's so alarming. It's so disturbing. I mean, I'm still actually in somewhat a level of disbelief about this. And we're trying to check this out with our legal team, because it's not clear where that data is coming from. Are they just using boilerplate language on this privacy notice?
Hardly.
I don't know. But that's the problem. I mean, this is all being done by the back door with very little transparency. And it's really alarming. If they really are going to be collecting that kind of data, then, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think we've just got our head in our hands. But the thing is, also, this app, it is a direct link into your medical records.
Yeah.
And you are being expected
to all of your medical records, not just absolutely your vaccine status.
Yeah, so there is a lot of sensitive data at stake here that we are apparently now, by the back door, in a backroom decision that has not been subjected to any kind of democratic process at all, we're going to be expected to show this at civilian checkpoints internally within our own country.
Wow.
I guess starting at concerts and larger events. But that's really the starting point. I mean, how long is it before this becomes schools, colleges, universities, and all the rest of it?
Yeah.
I don't think it's just going to be places that people are choosing to go, because where would the logic be?
Why do they think that we need this? This is the bit I've always argued. If you know, if it was just about the vaccines, if the vaccines work, then we don't need it because we'll have the herd immunity. If the vaccines don't work, there's no use to it. This isn't sci-fi stuff. This isn't sort of, you know, stuff at, you know, Minority Report or anything. We are talking about something that's already happened in China. We've taken far too many lessons from China in the recent years, in my view anyway. But this is in China. People are required to have these apps on their phones. You can't do anything. And you get social credit. So if you're a good person, you do the right thing. You get more freedom.
Oh, yeah. That's a dumb way to say that. You do what they claim is the right thing. You do what the government wants you to do. And that's the right thing. Not you just do the good. I mean, come on. That's hardly what that will be. And this is someone who doesn't believe in, quote, conspiracy theory, while you're literally outlining one of the largest conspiracy theories of all time. That's just so funny to me.
They follow everything that people do, everything they spend, the taxes, every single thing that they do is
that's what they're building toward
and controlled. This is unbelievably dangerous territory to go down.
Yeah, there's an interesting statement by the health minister in the Lords, Lord Bethel, who said that the app is part of an ambitious plan to change our relationship to our medical records.
God, yep, just a cock up, though, right? Just a mistake. Come on, she's not that stupid. Like, again, I contend that opening statement was just to try to nod to the people, they like the woke mob, that whatever you want to call them today, they're going to come after her for saying the wrong thing around COVID-19. It just seemed kind of silly to me. Clearly, this is an obvious coordinated effort. You can call it whatever you want, guys. That's what it is.
What does that mean? We also know that this is a government that's got an agenda for digital ID, and there's a digital
yep.
ID framework being drawn up at the moment. They're supportive of facial recognition technology.
Yeah, guys, I'm aware of that. If anyone thinks that I'm trusting these people, then you don't know me well enough and you're not watching the show enough. Clearly, we're questioning everything, including these people who are not on our side. I don't know why everyone assumes when I'm referencing something like the Wall Street Journal, that means I trust the Wall Street Journal or their, however else you want to look at that. We're always questioning what we're looking at.
Apologies. I mean, there are a lot of, if you're looking for Minority Report or China style policies, wow, we've got an awful lot of them. I think the government's been learning a lot from China. You know, Matt Hancock is someone who says that he loves technology. I don't think he's got a very good antenna for ethics and perhaps care about technology. I think there is a very lazy way of thinking that anything that's on an app, anything that uses big data is a good thing, it's innovative. And sure, if you start seeing citizenry as cattle, then why wouldn't you want them to have digital IDs and force them to show their passes everywhere that that's they the go?
Point. They already
that's
do.
Not the way that most British people want to live.
But again, crucially, it completely changes our relationship with the government. You know, they are there to serve us.
Right. It's nice to say those flowery things that sound like you care about them, but when you're just continually sidestepping the reality that this is an obvious plan, it's kind of childish, right? Yeah, they work for us as we kind of placate the idea that they might. They're all just incompetent. There's no way they could plan. It's laid out in an obvious structured plan. How does it, can it be more spoon-fed to you that this is a theory? They theorized this. They conspired to make this happen. Come on. It's childish. I was laughing at this person saying this stream will self-destruct in 5 hours. Exactly. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's probably already deleted. But here's the data they're referencing. Boosters to be added to the NHS COVID pass for travel. But boosters, right? That's the point I was making. So now it's suddenly now you're not vaccinated unless you have the booster. Exactly what we told you would happen. Here's the NHS COVID pass. Right. This is just the information that they're showing you. This is where it's all going, guys. Read up on it for yourselves. This is going to be expanded to be something like this in a broad sense that applies to whatever they wanted to. And as we skipped in the last show because they wouldn't let me show you, you already saw most of this. Germany imposes nationwide lockdown for the unvaccinated on the 2nd. I can almost promise you that will at some point be expanded to include the vaccinated or just pull back from that and then just restrict everything as if they didn't need to include the vaccinated, because the data is quite clear that it's obviously the vaccinated that are causing these problems we're staring at. And now, and just like Austria, they said only the unvaccinated. Then like 4 days later, they said now include the vaccinated, because they clearly realized what was going on. Probably going to happen here too. But here's what the Bild editor-in-chief said, or it was, Bild. The upcoming compulsory vaccination is the biggest political breach of promise in the history of the Federal Republic of Germany, said one of the leading outlets. Mainstream media. It's falling apart, guys, and they see it and they're scared because this is being forced anyway. They're now turning and burning the people like someone like a Dr. Malone, you know, that should have been quote unquote on their side if you look at it from a broad perspective, who now stands up and just says something outside the narrative and then they just go fake news, conspiracy theorist, and they burn that bridge. Eventually, there's going to be no more bridges. Italy now tightens restrictions on the unvaccinated with a new COVID pass.
The government is bringing in stricter pandemic measures for those who remain unvaccinated. The Super Green Pass means Italians can no longer show a negative COVID-19 test to access bars, restaurants, and public events.
Super Green Pass.
But instead require people to be double vaccinated. The new restrictions are dividing opinions in Italy.
Great. So now you need to be double vaccinated, right? What about the third, the booster shot? What about the fact that it doesn't even, they're showing that after 3 months, it doesn't even work? So now you've gotten two shots, you're 3 months in, and now you're fully vaccinated, but it's not working. The data shows that. Who cares? Facts and logic don't play in. If you do what you're told, you're safe. That's what they want you to believe. Green pass went to super green pass, right? Your tests don't count anymore. This is just illogical in every possible way. Unvaccinated only. Again, even though none of that makes sense, if you, the vaccinated, especially if we're talking about the Omicron, whatever, they're the ones spreading it. They're the ones catching it. They're the ones continuing this. But on top of all the data, the vast majority of cases are in the vaccinated. The majority of hospitalizations are in the hospital or in the vaccinated. And over 80% in the UK of the deaths are in the vaccinated. What are we talking about here? They can spread it. They can catch it. They have increased viral load. But yeah, let's only do something to the people that aren't sick. Right? Right. So we don't know they're sick. You haven't proved they're sick. So why are you assuming that the unvaccinated are sick? Because that was always the plan. Austria, unvaccinated will now be formally asked to get vaccinated starting February 15th. Remember when this was fake news? Those who fail to comply 1 month later will face penalties. This is going to become criminal, guys. This is formally asking you. This is a mandatory vaccination policy. Penalties for compliance, non-compliance, 600 euros every 3 months, maximum 3,600 euros. Failure to pay will result in substitute prison sentences. This is alarming. Australian churches are rejecting the unvaccinated people. We told you that we've shown you this in multiple countries. Do you think Jesus would have done the same? All right, these are disgusting hypocrites. This is blasphemous, if you will. because they're just following politics, which means they're terrible people, using their religion as a cloak. Same like these politicians are using their politics and their so-called philanthropy as a cloak, as they're some of the worst people around. But here's some good news, silver lining. One of Florida's biggest hospital systems has ended all vaccine mandates. Advent Health, and by the way, I take that back. I don't like the way she framed this because they haven't ended them. This is from a Fox News perspective, which is pretty much why that was claimed, I think, framed that way. Advent Health will no longer require, that's not true either, its 83,000 employees to be vaccinated. What it says is that they have suspended the requirements, which doesn't mean it's over. It means it's on pause. That's the point. And this is something that we talked about from the beginning. This is still a silver lining that they did suspend this for those 83,000 employees. But how many of those 83,000 already gave in because they thought it wasn't going to go away? The first time, the second time, the third time they threatened the force. That's what somebody keeps telling us, guys. This is a plan that we're going to force it in. It's going to be a mandate. And then it gets OSHA suspended. Oh, and it goes back. Then Biden says, do it anyway. And they do it again. And then, oh, and it goes back. And now they suspend it. It's an ebb and a flow. And every time they do it, they get more people who just go, okay, I'll do it. I think there's a way to force in as many people as possible before they make their final call. My opinion. Here's Pelosi, by the way, telling you what they're never going to do, right? They're never going to do this, Pelosi says. I believe I had this. I swear I downloaded these things. That's frustrating. Well, I am going to download this one anyway because it's an important one just to have on file. But this is Pelosi on the record, just like all the others, New Zealand. There's a lot of them that came out and said, and because this was what they knew we wanted to hear at the time, because people like me were saying they're going to force this. They're going to find a way to force this on people, right? And we told you that. And they came out and said, no, these stupid conspiracy theorists, they don't know anything. We're not allowed to do that. We can't do that. And all the people that wanted to hear that went back to sleep and said, okay, Pelosi said they would never do that. Remember that? Well, already right now, they are mandating this for multiple levels, multiple people. They are forcing this on people in businesses right now and government employees right now. Here's what she said back on August 25th.
So here's the thing. We cannot require someone to be vaccinated. That's just not what we can do. It is a matter of privacy to know who is or who isn't.
Oops. Don't you love how terribly these things age? They don't care, though. They know that's there. They don't care. The mainstream media will ignore that. I mean, Fox might play it to a degree to talk up their side of the point. But I promise you, Fox is not on your side, especially once this ends up in the direction that it's really going in, which is the passports, which I promise you will concede to some degree. Don't mean we all see that Fox has been pushing the vaccine like any other side in this agenda because they're all on the same side. But isn't it amazing that she can sit there and tell you that we can't do that, that we won't do that, that it's a matter of privacy, and then all of that goes by the wayside the moment that it's politically advantageous for them? Where are all the people that are on their side and are unwilling to point out that that shows a lie or hypocrisy or a shift in the goalpost or whatever we want to talk about? All they do is say, you're fake news when we point to stuff like this. Throwback to when Pelosi said, we cannot require somebody. All right, well, we see how quickly that changes. Here is Prime Minister of New Zealand. Not only will there be no forced vaccinations, but those who choose to opt out won't face any penalties at all. Yay, right? Because that's what they knew we wanted to hear. Well, here's 2021. It's hard to know how long vaccination mandates will remain in place. Yeah, forever. The very thing she swore would never happen. The Pelosi says we're not allowed to do. We're all doing it now, though. True North points out something that's really alarming to me, which I believe this is where it's all going. Beginning Saturday, this is on the 3rd, people in New Brunswick, Canada, who do not show proof of full vaccination are barred from entering grocery stores to buy food. How do you rationalize something like that? What if someone doesn't have accessibility to things like phone delivery? What if all they have is their accessibility to the store and they don't want to make this choice? Are you literally going to tell them to starve to death? It doesn't matter. They're pretending like that situation doesn't exist. That's how dangerous this all is. They don't care about you or your health. They care about your compliance as a means to an end to the agenda. I don't even know how anybody could think that makes sense. on speaking of food and a really interesting tie to this, a woman who is in a quarantine in Toronto hasn't eaten for 40 hours. Do you know why? Because they just refused to give her celiac food, which means she's a celiac, which means she's allergic to gluten. And there's a lot of weirdness around that topic, especially for someone like me who's worked in the food industry. But I can promise you, as a matter of fact, that there is an illness that you have. Some people just play up the gluten discussion. But if you're an actually diagnosed celiac, you can die. You can go into anaphylactic shock and die instantly. I actually worked with a couple of young girls where I had to cook special food for them in a special location every day because they couldn't even get near celiac. They could die. Okay, a woman is forced into a quarantine hotel in Toronto. She has celiac disease, and instead of giving her food, they just give this dumper the same garbage they give everybody else. So either they don't care if she dies, or they don't care that she can't eat. But it's all about your health, though. Keep telling yourself that. She hasn't eaten for 40 hours. They give her stuff like this. Let's be clear. She's told them that she's a celiac. They arrived at the quarantine at 4:30, but did not receive dinner that night. She told them she was allergic, deathly. The next morning, they did not receive a meal. It wasn't until lunchtime, December 5th, that she said they got their first meal, one portion of crispy chicken that was not gluten-free. So they just don't give her stuff, and then finally just dump her what they were giving everybody else just because they're lazy, they don't care, they couldn't find it. But who cares, though? Health, right? Janet said she has severe celiac disease and her food cannot even be cross-contaminated with gluten. This is what I'm talking about. It says, where's the part? They tried calling Red Cross 5 times. They said they were on hold. When they finally got to reach representative, they took the food request, but at the dinner time, they again received a portion of meal that was not gluten-free. So it's almost like they're playing games. They don't care. I mean, guys, this is just, it's just disgusting. These are the people pretending like they're good people, out there doing all the right things, while they're starving a woman who can't eat what they're giving her because they just don't care, or they're lazy, or they think she's lying. I don't know. It doesn't matter. This is nothing to do with health. Or rather, it's at the expense of literally every other health topic under the guise of doing what's right for COVID-19, even though that's also not true. But don't worry, though, because Israel's already about to force the fourth shot. Which, by the way, has already been happening. We already reported that to you. But now they're right. They're rash. They're justifying it right now under the guise of only immunocompromised, but not anybody else. That's exactly what they did with the third shot. Only immunocompromised until they finally said, okay, now everybody. Same thing's going to happen. I promise you, mark my words, but it's already happened. We're already in the third shot in the United States. We're already on the fully vaccinated definition to the third shot. Now the fourth shot's going to be extended in Israel, just like it's going to go on and on. In France or the UK, you have examples of passports that already show 4 spaces. It's obvious that this was part of the plan, or at the very least expected. And all they can do is continue to act like this is just them doing what they can because the unvaccinated. Here's Fauci telling you the fully vaccinated could change to include the booster. I've already told you that. Here is the Pfizer boss telling you that we may face likely annual COVID jabs. You can listen to these for yourself. Here's Fauci telling you something that I will play for you that is admitting to you something that I've been telling you for a very long time, that they don't need anything other than computer screen information to pump this out in a matter of days, which, by the way, is what they did in the beginning, even though they swear up and down that this was the best thing ever. Best thing ever. Research for 20 years, except they pumped it out in a matter of days. Listen to what he says and decide for yourself. I know I downloaded that one. I swear somebody's messing with me. Probably, guys. Oh, there it is.
Days later, I think it was January 9th or 10th, the sequence came out. As soon as I heard there was a new pneumonia, I said, well, a new pneumonia, Wuhan, wet market, almost certainly it's going to be a coronavirus.
Oh, yeah, because that's just an obvious no-brainer, right? Everyone's so confused, we have no idea. And Fauci's like, coronavirus must be right out of the gate. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, or not at all. Maybe because you know exactly what you were working on in Wuhan and working on everywhere and focusing on corona. I mean, the idea of the wet market do you realize how debunked that's been from the very beginning? Whatever you think about it, they have never even remotely proven that it came from that lab. Came from the wet market. In fact, there's been a constant amount of evidence that shows that it's impossible to have come from that lab. Dang it, come from that wet market. And yet they still say that. So him saying this now is wildly suspicious.
Later, I think it was January 9th or 10th, the sequence came out. As soon as I heard there was a new pneumonia, I said, well, a new pneumonia, Wuhan, wet market, almost certainly it's going to be a coronavirus. And that's when I got my team organized immediately and said, as soon as we get that sequence of what it is, let's go after that vaccine. Let's plug it into mRNA. We were already collaborating with Moderna with mRNA.
Yep.
And let's do it. And it was rocket speed.
Okay, so before we... Let me grab this real quick for you. Before we go forward on that, let's not forget, since he just basically made it very clear, that he was the one that was already working with Moderna prior to this happening. What a perfect coincidence, right? They were literally just standing around waiting with a platform, right? I've shown you this many times. This is the Moderna page that shows you the work. And on the 11th, Chinese authorities shared genetic sequence of the novel coronavirus. 2 days later, they already had finalized the sequence they were going to use for the injection. Then, on February 7th, right? So, about less than a month, they already produced the injections that were going to be given to people. Do you realize that in a month, nothing has changed since then? Other than things they didn't tell us about, which I'm sure happened. But this is clearly something that this is. So Fauci is telling you that's him. That's their group. We're ready, waiting. And they got it. They pumped it out just like that. It's a miracle after failing repeatedly over and over for years, for decades. And they were all about to collapse. Then suddenly, magically, the one thing they needed and perfectly, they were set up and ready and waiting with the platform. They got it and pumped it out. And a month later, they were doing it. Nobody should buy that. I mean, God, that's ridiculous, especially since they failed in every possible way, multiple companies, multiple times for years. And now that they just got the sequence, it worked. Magic. Do you realize they got the sequence for other things before that and it failed and it failed and it failed and it failed? They got this sequence and in a rush, they got it done the right way. Come on. I mean, we really have to be childish to accept something like that perfectly put together.
5-6 days later, we were starting with the vaccine development with Moderna. 65 days later, we did a phase one trial, and multiple months later, we knew we had a safe and effective vaccine.
That's incredible.
Wow. Multiple months later. So we hear, what about all the people screaming for 20 years of research, right? That's them not understanding that was just research on mRNA in general and different variations of the injection. This is a new thing that they got on January. They pumped out on February 7th, 2020. From then forward, they had months, multiple months. So 3 months of investigation. These are the people saying the longest safety trial in history. Do you realize how stupid that is? This is the mainstream media continually saying something that we can verifiably show is dumb, that he admits right there. That's how broken this whole thing is. I don't even know if they, people like her, are aware of that. But the point here is to realize that they pumped this out in a matter of months, and they didn't even need the thing to be isolated if it probably never was, which we should know. At the very least, they've never proven it to be isolated.
Incredible speed that you were already there. But it was despite the lack of information being shared.
All I needed was the sequence. I mean, the public health part was handled by the CDC.
Live virus samples wouldn't have made a difference for you.
I didn't need it at all. I just needed the sequence to get a vaccine.
Well, there you are. There's no misunderstanding that. That's where we are going forward, right? That's where we are now. Now they're pointing to Omicron and they're making it 3 weeks. Give it 3 weeks. We'll have it pumped out. Yeah, exactly like we told you. Exactly like we told you was always the plan back when we showed you this platform, when we showed you what they said about this platform and what it actually meant. I believe this is the link right here, if I remember correctly, where it basically just outlines exactly what this is supposed to be. A platform, which they actually themselves call a plug-and-play platform. If it wants to load. Either way, he's telling you right now that they don't need anything but computer screen information. That is the reality, and that's what's going to happen going forward. Of course it doesn't load. You got to be... Oh, there we go, finally. What it says here, we built Moderna on a guiding premise that if using mRNA as a medicine works for one disease, it should work for many diseases, right? Recognizing the broad potential of this science, we set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. The media dismisses these kind of comments, even though it says it right there. It is designed so that it can plug and play their words interchangeably with different programs. We're talking about injections that are going in your children's bodies. And all they're saying is, yeah, we just plug in the new information, pump out this thing, and 3 weeks later, we're jamming this in your arms. Well, wait a minute. The first one, which took way longer to produce with more testing, is clearly not working and clearly not safe and clearly not effective. But let's do it faster this time. That's alarming. Finally, New York City orders the first in the nation vaccine mandate for private companies. You mean the mandate that Biden tried to force in, that OSHA tried to follow up on, but the courts shut down, and now it's all these lawsuits, and it's all on pause, but somehow, weirdly, New York is the one that's just going to, we're going to do it anyway. First in the nation to mandate what we're not allowed to do. We're going to force private companies, meaning not government, average businesses out there, apparently companies regardless of total employees. So now it's not even 100 each, it's just anybody. Private companies everywhere in New York have to force their people to get this. This is off the rails more than anything else we've talked about today. This is New York doing what it's always done, trying to be the first in line with this agenda and doing the worst. How is this even allowed? If it's currently up in the air, legally speaking, this just shows you they're just going to do what they want because they can and no one's going to stop them. But take into consideration this next point. COVID-19 vaccination rates reported by New York, probably inaccurate, experts say. Here's why. This is fantastic because it shows you that they're lying to you guys and they're using those lies to force this. Meaning that at the end of the day, I think it's pretty clear that they don't have as many people as they pretend they do, and they're desperate to force it on everybody who doesn't have it, because it's going to continue to quickly show why it's not smart to take. The control group they're trying to get rid of. Every day, the state releases the percentage of different groups of New Yorkers who are vaccinated against COVID-19. This is on December 5th. Sometimes accompanied by statements trumpeting the achievement of major milestones. But those percentages, such as the more than 91% of adults the state says are at least partially vaccinated, all of which would go down as unvaccinated if anything happened to them, are probably inaccurate and inflated because of double counting, population shifts, and other factors, experts say. Isn't that great? I've been saying that from the beginning. Any honest person should know that about any data set. Yet, at the same time, the media will censor you for saying it's not accurate and will accuse you of being a conspiracy theorist if you don't take it at face value. 800,000 COVID deaths are for sure 100%, and yet we'll all simultaneously argue how we can clearly show that it's not accurate because of this, because of double counting, because of whatever else, right? They'll still then report 91% on the news tonight, even though they know that it could be, you see what I'm saying? It's subjective. They don't care. The state says 153,621 Nassau County residents, 65 to 74. Had been vaccinated by Friday, even though, according to the state website, there's only 132,862 people in that age group in Nassau. Oops, 20,000 extra people that don't exist. Maybe they're pulling them from the graveyard. That would mean a vaccination rate of 116%. Rates for residents 55 to 64 and 75 and older also exceed 100%. Ooh, good job, New York. You're vaccinating people that don't exist. It's not a joke, guys. This is very real. Discrepancies, not just in New York City. The vaccination rates over 100% for groups such as seniors and Asians suggest that other vaccination rates the state releases likely are inflated as well. But the discrepancies in numbers are not limited to New York. Across the Hudson River, multiple New Jersey municipalities report rates of more than 100%. In Hoboken, for example, 114% of those once 65 and older have at least one dose. 247% of kids, apparently 12 to 17, are at least partially vaccinated, according to New Jersey, their health department. 274%. This is crazy. CDC, guess what? Shocker. CDC numbers also don't add up. The CDC and prevention say that 99.9% of Americans age 65 and up are at least partially vaccinated. Again, that means that 100% of those age group right now are unvaccinated, but could go to die and have one shot in their body. I mean, let me make sure I say that in a much clearer way. they're telling you that 100% of the people over 65 have at least one shot. That means that 100% of that age category could die tomorrow and every one of them would go down as unvaccinated, even though they have a shot in their arm. That shot that increases their risk in the first 7 days by 50%, doubles their cardiac threat, and increases and suppresses their immune system at an age when they're the most vulnerable. But let's pretend like that has no bearing on if they might die with one shot in their body. The CDC says the maximum percentage it uses in vaccination rates is 99.9%. That's weird, even though we see them scream 100% effective all the time. That's a lie then. It says, meaning it does not report rates of 100% or more. Yet many states, including high vaccination rate states like New York, report that fewer than 99.9% of the seniors have received at least one dose, meaning the CDC is lying. Lying with data. That's how this works. And the CDC and prevention currently reports that 99.9% of adults 65 and older have at least one dose, despite individual states that report numbers well below 90%. Now, taking that into consideration, let's remember the one we just reported earlier in the show. For those that are thinking Newsday doesn't know what they're talking about, here's a study. Latest statistics on England mortality data suggest the systemic miscategorization of vaccine status and uncertain effectiveness of COVID vaccination. So we already read you this. Here's just the abstract. You can read it again for yourself. The reality is that the data shows you that they're miscategorizing the vaccine status, and that is what's causing the illusion of effectiveness for the vaccine. Weird. Now we're proving what we've been thinking with science. Shocking. I know. This is what's happening. That was the right one. The idea that we're talking about them overshooting the numbers, over bloating the numbers of who are vaccinated, but on top of that, showing you that they're just making up this information and that the 99.9% of over 65s with one shot are being categorized as something they're not if and when they get sick or die or get a case. It's all backed up for you. And here's the High Wire reporting the same thing on that study, their title being UK's official data, quote, provide no reliable evidence that the vaccine reduces all-cause mortality, says the researchers. Finally, here's Biden telling you, he's reaffirming, because it's always been there, the United States commitment at your expense to vaccinate the world, which why would that be? Of course, because now it's a worldwide agenda. That's always been this transition. And called on other countries to do the same. To end COVID and globally help prevent new variants. And there's your point. We've now shifted away from it's the unvaxxed in the population of the U.S. to it's the unvaxxed of the world. Again, this is one thing we told you early on that they dismissed because fake news. And now it's happening. Add it to the list of the other 400 things that we did the same to. If one person over there, if one country over there, if one county over there on the other side of the world is not doing what they're told, suddenly we're all in danger. This becomes the impetus, it becomes the infrastructure, the usable framework on which to grow the global network, the world government. The thing that they're openly talking about yet is still fake news when we say it out loud. Isn't that funny? Finally, where this all leaves, 80 House Republicans vote with Democrats. 80 House Republicans vote with Democrats to pass bill funding the federal vaccine database. You know, that thing that was a grand conspiracy theory up until they've justified it with COVID-19 and the Great Reset that aren't really happening, though, in regard to the conspiracy theorists. 80 House Republicans, right? Bipartisan. H.R. 550, the Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act of 2021. Remember how the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act worked for us, right? That one that allowed propaganda on its citizens, which is what they're using going forward. The modernization of these things is usually the last thing we want. What they're getting at, guys, is more money going into the system, which is going to build out a federal vaccine database. Which will be one of the pieces of the infrastructure for that kind of passport, medical, health, or social or otherwise, that they were describing on the Big Brother Watch. They're telling you that this is going to be used to go to state, get on the bus, go to a public place, to do anything. You will now need that to show that you're doing what you're supposed to. And if you think that sounds crazy, then you're not paying attention, because it's literally happening right in front of you. It's just unfortunate that we have to work so hard to show people what's happening to them in this very moment. But we're going to keep going. We will keep trying, and we will keep fighting, because that's what we're here to do. That's what you support TLAB for. This is our job. And we will not stop, no matter what happens. I mean, even if all of your support dries up tomorrow, I'll go get a job, as I've said many times, and I'll keep doing this on my off time, right? This is about something that means something to me that you guys just also happen to agree with and support and are passionate about. As I said from the beginning of this, I never expected TLAB to become what it is right now. I'm just humbled and honored that you guys believe in what we're doing enough to support it with nothing in return. They don't understand that. It scares them, because they need something to use against you, carrot and stick. You're willing to support this because you believe in it. And sociopaths will understand that. So keep fighting. Support me and other outlets and other people out there that are standing up for you. Vote with your dollar, because that's the only thing they care about. I love you all. As always, question everything and look forward to this next documentary. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Build is one of the largest public education campaigns ever.
President Biden's chief medical advisor says people need what he calls trusted messengers.
The White House has now recruited TikTokers, YouTubers, and more.
The goal, convince Americans, get the COVID vaccine.
I never in a million years thought I would never be able to get up and go to the bathroom.
46% of all the deaths that have happened for vaccines over the last 31 years happened in the last 3 months with these COVID vaccines.
Where I lose my ability to talk and the full function of the right side of my body.
Family says the mother and grandmother was healthy before she got her shot, and that her sudden death came as a shock.
I am in the hospital with heart complications from the COVID-19 vaccine.
The CDC has confirmed
higher than normal cases
of heart inflammation in 16 to 24-year-olds.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
What is the problem? Get over it.
Come on, people, just get the shot.
You know what we got to lose is our children's future.
That's right.
This is worth doing because of our kids.
A bullet is heading towards your child. This is a clear and present danger. Administered at the end of a public health administration needle.
Nothing I have done in the last 18 months that has made me infamous or famous, take your pick, has been because I'm a lawyer. It's been because I'm a mom. I think the parents are the new warriors.
I have 8 children, and I want to leave the world a little bit better and safer for them and for your children and for all of our children.
Something is not right, and it feels very much like when we escape communism in Vietnam.
I told someone the other day that lost their job, I said, you were freed. Take that freedom and figure out what you're supposed to do with it.
We expect their conversation to be wide-ranging, to cover a range of topics of mutual interest, everything from COVID-19 and our efforts to address the global pandemic.